Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host, Walker Kelly. Walker, the last time the Detroit Lions were in sole place, or sole possession of first place, there were 48 states.
Well,
that's the last time they had the best record in the NFL. There were 12 teams. It was 1956.
I mean, I'll take it.
A young Fidel Castro was planning his assault on Cuba.
This 67. I don't know if our non-patrons would be excited to hear about our Fidel Castro takes.
Let's just say, Bay of Pigs wasn't the worst thing that's ever happened, folks. They have a cancer vaccine, Walker.
I know.
But you know what there's not a vaccine for? The Kansas City Chiefs being 0-1.
It's true. You can't.
Walker.
There's no protection.
I give you the floor. I'm not even going to ask how you're doing.
I mean, we did it. I mean, it's went into the champ's house, beat him up. We were more physical. We owned him in the fourth quarter. Patrick Mahomes didn't lead a touchdown drive the entire second half.
Well, I think that has more to do with Kadarius Toney than Patrick Mahomes.
I'm not saying Mahomes played poorly. I'm just saying that we held a Patrick Mahomes-led offense to 6 points in the second half.
That's correct.
And I think that's good regardless of how poorly the receivers played.
Yes.
And so, Mike Tirico, shut your old dumb ass up. It does not have an asterisk.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because in the pregame show, I was like, are they even going to talk about the Lions? And then it was because they were just like Chiefs, 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 Chiefs. And then, this one has to have an asterisk because no Chris Jones. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It's
stupid.
We won. I mean,
yeah.
And then there's people like, well, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore are the reason the Chiefs lost. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, Marvin Jones had just as bad of a game for the Lions. It's not, the Lions still won the game. The game still had to be played.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin Jones had his first career fumble.
Yep. He sure did.
So, what is going on here? I got a poor connection.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh. Yeah, it says poor connection warning.
Oh.
Oh, weird. Boy. Hold on. Poor connection warning. Stop it. Start talking again.
Hello, I am talking on the podcast.
Okay, it's gone.
All right, great. Yeah, I mean, it was a fun game, for me to watch for the most part, somewhat stressful, but I wasn't really expecting a win. I was just hoping we would be competitive the whole game, and we sure as hell were. It feels great to beat the defending champions on the road and not play that well. That's probably the best feeling is that the Lions will get better over the course of the season and they just beat the champs on the road. So, I mean, this is a real good football team.
Yeah. It's like the Lions, they haven't peaked yet. They have, it's not like this was that they were perfect in every aspect of the game. Like sometimes you see a game where you're just like, well, they rolled, a 20 every time to put it
right.
In D&D parlance. It was like every weird thing they did worked. And granted, the cojones on Dan Campbell to run that fake punt inside their own 25 was, I mean, that got them a touchdown, but it wasn't like they had to do all these crazy plays. They just kept their foot on the gas.
Yeah, and that's, no, Kansas City was the one that tried all the tricks. Detroit, trick play central last season, didn't run a single trick play on offense the whole game. The only trick play we ran was the fake punt.
Yeah.
And, we kept it close to the vest and still beat them. So, I'm excited. I think that the season's going to go pretty damn well.
Yeah, and I think the best way to describe how unfluky this was everybody's panicking about David Montgomery 21 carries. It's because they were pounding the rock to keep Kansas City off the field so they could keep their foot on the gas. mm-hmm. and keep Kansas City from scoring. It wasn't like they had to pull out these crazy trick plays that they needed, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs to do all this stuff. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs looked awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say he didn't, but 9 touches is kind of like, I expected probably somewhere closer to 11 or 12. Like, I was talking to Frank Amarante, friend of the show, never been on the pod, but I did see him in real life. I was like, yeah, I expected probably around 40% of snaps, but the Lions were more or less in control. Like, they weren't winning until the very end, but they were like in control. It felt like
the game was being played the way the Lions wanted the game to be played.
Exactly. And so that's why David Montgomery had all these carries. Was he efficient on all these carries? No, but no. You know,
he was efficient when it mattered though.
Yeah. He had the touchdown run was great. His first run of the game was great. He was fighting for the hard first downs. That's why David Montgomery is there. I don't think people quite understand that.
Right. David Montgomery is there to, in games where we need to run the clock down, that's the games he'll get 20 carries. And in games where we need to throw it around, he's going to get like 12.
Yeah. And, you know, people are apoplectic because Jahmyr Gibbs only had these 9 touches. If we had Jahmyr Gibbs getting 21 carries in his first NFL game, we would be talking about how he's out 4 to 6 weeks with something.
You don't do that to a player who's just experiencing the NFL for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, you don't. Yeah.
Like you said, I was probably also expecting about 11 touches, but I mean, 9 is, it's not like that's super out of the ordinary. And yeah, he looked good. Dan Campbell has already said that that's probably the least he'll be used in any game all season. So
yeah,
there's no reason to panic.
Yeah. And I really honestly, in like my heart of hearts, I think Dan Campbell had more stuff planned. For it, well, not Dan Campbell. Ben Johnson had more stuff planned for Jahmyr Gibbs, but they just had to keep pounding it with David Montgomery, who is better in pass pro than Jahmyr Gibbs, too. Like, everybody keeps doing that, showing that Nick Bolton play. It's like, hey, you know what? Everybody has a bad play.
But he did also. He protected him long enough to prevent a sack. So
yeah, exactly. He did his job. Also, when he was on the ground, he redirected Nick Bolton. He threw his legs up in the air, so Nick Bolton had to like adjust.
Yeah, so, and then he got called for tripping.
Yeah, but I mean, still, he protected Jared Goff. That's all that matters. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about the game. We'll go through. We'll start with Kansas City. Did we curse Patrick Mahomes?
No,
because we were like over 300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no picks. That's money in the bank, and he had 226, 2, and 1.
I mean, that high-powered Lions defense just he couldn't handle it, you know.
Yeah, Brian Branch. Walker was right. Hashtag Walker was white. Yeah.
I was white.
Yeah, well, you are. Do you deny these allegations?
I've been advised not to comment.
That's fair. Patrick Mahomes also led the Chiefs in rushing. That's mostly because Isaiah Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had split 14 carries. Makes me a little bit worried about Jerick McKinnon, because there was a point where Isaiah Pacheco came off the field. He was like banged up. He came up limping from a play. They went to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Maybe I was wrong about Jerick McKinnon. I don't know. In a game without Travis Kelce, where nobody else was really doing anything and they barely used Jerick McKinnon.
I think Jerick McKinnon needs Travis Kelce to be on the field to be good. I think that's part of the problem. I think he gets more focus from the defense when Kelce is not out there, and he's not a good enough player to avoid that largely. He had one nice play where Mahomes found him early in the game, and that was it. He just got bottled up when he was out there. You know, he still played some passing downs, but yeah, just the one target, I believe. And no carries, so that's a little bit lower than you'd expect. You figure he'd maybe get like 3 carries a game or so. I think the more concerning thing for him is that Isaiah Pacheco caught all 4 of his targets for 31 yards. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that was a new aspect to the game.
Right, because Pacheco didn't get used in the passing game hardly at all last year. It seems like they might be a little more comfortable throwing him the ball this season. Now, I don't expect him to catch 4 passes every game, especially with Kelce coming back. That'll probably be down around the 2 area. But I don't want to make any overreactions, but it wasn't a good debut for Jerick McKinnon, certainly.
He's going to be on the cut candidate list, I think, because...
I can't do that yet when their offense wasn't at full strength.
That's fair. I'm gonna have the caveat week. Of like a 10-team league.
Sure, sure. I mean, I won't play him next week, regardless. I mean, even on my team where my other three running backs are Travis Etienne, AJ Dillon, and Khalil Herbert. So I'll just play those three guys over McKinnon next week and be fine with it. But no, he's not on the cut list for me yet. But if Kelsey comes back and he has like two more bad weeks in a row, you can probably get rid of him at that point.
Yeah. I mean, well, that was one of the things we were worried about was how this running back room was going to shake up. And so far, it seems like it's going to be a three-way monster, and it's going to be annoying to try to start any of these guys.
I think I mentioned, a couple weeks ago on the podcast about how Edwards-Helaire could end. I was concerned that he could end up being a thorn in the side for Kansas City running back room because he might get, six carries and a target or two a game.
Yeah.
It seems like that might end up being the case.
Yeah, it's going to be icky. I didn't end up with any Pacheco, really, just because it just felt like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, much like Benghazi, ain't going away. and it just kind of was always tapping in the back of my mind, and I didn't want to say it, but I never drafted Pacheco, and this was kind of a worst case scenario.
I only have him in Dynasty, where I got him in the fourth round of a rookie draft. So,
yeah.
I mean, but I never play him. I mean, it's, and in redraft, no, I didn't have any of him. He was going a little too high for my liking. He pretty much, I like Pacheco as a player, but pretty much prototypical dead zone running back. No draft capital, not necessarily the 100% full time starter, not a lot of passing down work in the past. He's a tryhard. He's got a role and he's pretty good at it, but he's a limited player.
Yeah. And I mean, I would have fully expected you to have Isaiah Pacheco in Dynasty Leagues because you were literally the only person in on Isaiah Pacheco during draft season last year.
Yep.
So I would expect you to have to,
have one Dynasty League. So 100% exposure.
Dang. Did you win it?
I did.
Who did you beat in the finals?
This guy named Jeff Crisco.
No! Why did I set myself up like that? Anyways.
I couldn't tell you.
All right, Walker. So there's no good wide receivers in Kansas City, right?
Well.
Except for the one everybody's forgetting.
There could be. We don't know yet.
So I truly, and I was like, I said I was going to be, I warned you, I said I'm going to be obnoxious about Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm not going to be obnoxious about Rashee Rice. But here's the thing that's really chapping my ass. Here's the thing that's really bothering me on Twitter right now. I see things like, it's evidently clear that Justin Watson is going to be the wide receiver one here. It's like, what are you watching? Uh-huh. Or Richie James has nothing but opportunity ahead of him. What? He had two targets. Or, Marcus Valdes-Scantling might be the one. Marcus Valdes-Scantling had one big catch. It was a nice catch. Yeah, like, he got hit as he...
Again, he had two targets and was running mostly wind sprints.
Yeah. MVS, Sky Moore, all wind sprint team. And people are apoplectic about Sky Moore. You shouldn't have drafted Sky Moore. Because here's the thing. Here's who was on the roster. Oh, and Kadarius Toney sucked. Here's who was on the roster when they spent a second-round pick on Rashee Rice. Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Justin Watson, Marcus Valdes-Scantling. They didn't like these guys as their wide receiver one, which is why you spend a second-round pick on a guy because you want to use him. And that's what blows me away, is that Rashee Rice... So Rashee Rice only had 20 snaps yesterday. He had, after the first three drives, I believe he had 12. I do not remember seeing him on the field after that weird blown up jet sweep
Belldozer under center.
It was Belldozer. I couldn't remember if it was Bell or Gray. They had him under center, weird sweep. I didn't see him after that. So I'm wondering if he got banged up. But he had 20 snaps, six opportunities, 12 routes, five targets. Like, that is some incredible. That's like 45% usage, 40% target rate.
It was pretty clear, in my opinion, that based on the usage, the two receivers they were trying to get the ball into their hands were Toney and Rice. And Toney was just awful, and Rice played pretty well, so his stat line looked a lot better. I wouldn't expect necessarily Rice to have a big role until maybe mid-season-ish, but he's a good stash because he definitely looked, I would say, you know, yesterday he looked like probably the first or second best receiver on the team. And there was a lot of draft capital invested in him. There's opportunity for him to move up the depth chart pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if he earns Mahomes' trust, then he's going to get some targets. You know, like I say, I don't necessarily think any of the Kansas City receivers are going to be like weekly starters this season. I just don't know if the offense is built that way. Maybe if Kelsey's injury nags, but if Kelsey's fine to go, then, you know, Rice and Valdez-Scantling are probably the only guys that, and maybe not even Valdez-Scantling, only had two targets. So, yeah, I mean, going forward, I would say Rice is the best guy to have in that receiver room.
Yeah, and you mentioned it in the tweet today where you shouted me out for being in on it.
I called Jeff my best fantasy football
BFFF, player. Yes. And I agree where it's like, I don't think he has this like massive like upside, but could he be, I'm looking at like, let's see, last year, Adam Thielen, wide receiver 30, 70 catches, 716 yards, 6 touchdowns. That feels like something he could do.
Maybe.
Yeah. Or where he's got, you know, where he's got like a decent amount of catches, you know, or let's see, I'm trying to like not go too crazy here, or like Jacoby Myers, 67, 804 and 6, wide receiver 28.
Mm.
That's a little high.
I don't think Juju had what, 70 for 750 and 4 last year. I don't think Rice will reach that.
Walker, Juju had 78 for 933 and
3. Oh, I think
you might be thinking of his last year in Pittsburgh.
Maybe Rice's ceiling, I would say, is like 60 for 750 and 5. That's like the absolute ceiling, but that's not bad for a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, 60 for 750 and 5, like that's roughly what Alan Lazard did last year.
Right, and he's a guy that should be on rosters.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that, I was going to say Tyler Boyd-ish, kind of end of year production. So, but Tyler Boyd, was only at 58 for 752. Nope. I lost him. 762. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think Rashee Rice is the one to roster here. Let me ask you this, Walker, are we cutting Kadarius Toney or Sky Moore after they combine for 8 targets at 0.125 yards per target?
I don't think that you're dropping Sky Moore because you probably spent a 7th or 8th round pick on him. So I don't think you can drop him yet, especially since he did get 5 targets. Toney, I know that they tried to scheme ways to get him the ball, but he's Mecole Hardman, but worse. I mean, he's that's what the role is going to be. He's going to have like 5 or 6 manufactured opportunities a game. They're all going to be short, and he's not going to do a lot with him because he's not very good. So I think you can drop Toney.
Yeah. I mean, Toney, the opportunity was there. He didn't cash in on it. You know, let's put it this way. I'm about to clown on Noah Gray, and Noah Gray had the same number of targets as Kadarius Toney and had 2 more catches for 30 more yards.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's much we have a big enough sample size here with Kadarius Toney that congratulations to everybody who got mad at me all off season about me saying that Kadarius Toney is going to end up in the 6th round and he doesn't deserve it. And then he ended up in the 6th round and then he didn't deserve it. So congratulations to everybody.
To be fair, he ended up in the 6th round and then he got banged up again and he fell precipitously out of the 6th round.
Which, so many people got lucky that that happened because yes. Everybody who ended up taking him in the 6th round looks like an idiot. So the only Chiefs guy I would roster is Rashee Rice. But this time next week, we could be saying it's Sky Moore, or this time next week, it could be saying it's Justin Watson. If he gets 2 touchdowns, you know, it's going to be an annoying thing to deal with. But I honestly think by midseason, it's going to be Rashee Rice. You know, when they had Tyreek Hill there, it was one guy. I'm not saying that Rashee Rice is Tyreek Hill, but I'm saying that it's not like spreading the ball around is in Kansas City's blood.
Right. Sure.
Uh-oh. I lost Walker.
What?
Oh, no.
I'm on.
Oh, there he is. Are there... I didn't have you for a second. Oh, I lost you.
That's weird.
Yeah. Anyways, you know what else is weird? Everybody loving Noah Gray. I got it out.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he was he sure looked like a tight end two out there.
Yeah. 3 for 31 on 5 targets. Everybody was shocked and awed that Noah Gray wasn't Travis Kelce. And there were a couple plays where you're like, yeah, that dude's definitely not Travis Kelce out there.
Yeah, the one I think it was like late in the first quarter or something like that when Mahomes tried to throw like a little quick out to him and he got absolutely blanketed by Alex Anzalone.
Yeah.
That's not Travis Kelce for sure.
Yeah, there was one, I think it was late in the second quarter where he threw it up to him and he just did this kind of like half hop instead of like laying out to get the ball. And it was like, oh yeah, that's not Travis Kelce either.
He had one nice play where he spun out of a Kirby Joseph tackle and got like 20 extra yards.
Yeah. And
other than that, he looked super regular. And that's pretty much what you'd expect.
Yeah, that Kirby Joseph tackle play that you're referring to, 24 of his 31 yards. So he's 2 for 7 on his other 2 catches.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can drop Noah Gray. I don't care if Travis Kelce is going to be back next weekend. Just get Noah Gray off your roster.
Yeah, get rid of him.
That's your free square to go pick a guy up. But I think that's it for the Chiefs. Let's talk about the Lions a little bit. We did off the top. We talked about the running backs already. Jared Goff, you shouldn't have been starting him this week anyways. 253-1, not a big deal. They were running out the clock as best they could. And the Brian Branch touchdown it was a third of their points. So
mm-hmm.
Limited the overall offense. Very interesting to me was Josh Reynolds, second on the team in targets, first on the team in yards. Is this a capital A, capital T, a thing?
Yeah, probably. He's probably going to be the wide receiver too until Williams is back from suspension. I'm not sure you'll get 4 for 80 every week, but yeah, you can probably rely on like 5 targets. So in deeper leagues, he's worth flex consideration, I suppose.
Yeah, and there's this talk that Cooper Kupp might go on IR, and if Van Jefferson struggles this week, like that's the obvious pivot because Van Jefferson insanely low roster rate. You know, if he struggles this week, I would probably make the move to go from Jefferson to Reynolds because around the time, like if you have Kupp to spell him, because around the time that Kupp's going to be back, Jameis going to be back. So you can just get rid of Josh Reynolds again, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I think Josh Reynolds is a better player than Van Jefferson. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like, oh, is Van Jefferson going to get a ton of targets? And it's like, well, I'm not sure, but we have seen Josh Reynolds get 7 targets already. So,
right. I mean, Reynolds is a guy that Goff trusts. He's been with him for a long time since back with his Rams days. Goff knows where Reynolds is going to be. I would expect that Marvin Jones is going to steadily lose playing time.
And, yeah.
Reynolds is going to be the pretty consistent wide receiver too, and then Khalif Raymond is going to take Jones's spot because Raymond had 1 target and looked super good on it, and Jones had 6 and was less productive than Raymond on 1.
He looked not good. He was less productive. Yeah, he looked old. He was less productive than Brock Wright.
Yep, he was.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, 6 for 71 and a touchdown. He's still good, folks.
Yeah, what did he have? 8 targets?
9 targets.
9 targets, yeah. So extremely like regular Amon-Ra St. Brown game, and you got 19.1 points. Really good.
Yeah, you said, I was listening back to us talking about this game. You said, yeah, floor game for Amon-Ra is like 6 for 60. So
yeah,
you're pretty close. Yeah, and they spent a long time just grinding this out, you know. Sam Laporta. 5 for 39, 5 targets, people going all the way off. Congratulations. He's going to be like tight end 11 on the week. Good job, everybody. You did it.
I mean, I think it's the more notable than the performance is the 5 targets. I think that him getting 5 targets right away out of the gate is good news. I think that's something that you can bank on, like at least four targets probably every game for him until Williams is back. And maybe even after Williams is back, it's a possibility. So I think he'll probably end up getting a few more targets than I expected this season. But the usage is going to be pretty similar. He's going to get a lot of underneath stuff and be expected to break tackles after the catch, used on play action passes, that sort of thing. So his yards per catch, probably not going to be that great. Probably not going to score a lot of touchdowns, but he'll be a little bit more involved than I initially expected. So I think I projected him tight end 19. So he could push fringe tight end one status, which would be a really good season for a rookie, but it still leaves him more in the streamer category.
Yeah, he's a blob guy now. Like, that's all he is. People are going all the way off about a blob guy. You know, he's fine. You don't have to pop off about him, even though he was the second highest scoring tight end in this game. Behind the Belldozer, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Belldozer scored the touchdown. So, I think that's it. This wraps up Thursday Night Football. Congratulations to Walker Kelly and the Detroit Lions. They have won the Super Bowl.
No.
They will win the
Super Bowl. They will win the Super Bowl. We'll see. I hope so.
Do you know when they win the Super Bowl? When they beat the Chiefs again.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. That's what I like
to hear. All righty. You like that? Do you like that?
I like that. I love that.
Okay. Thank you. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. All right. So let's go on to the games. So what we do is we take a look at the game. We ask questions what we're looking for. We'll make some predictions. We'll talk a little bit about the players. And then we will move on to the next one. And so on and so forth. 15 times, Walker. Boy.
ten times. 15 times.
10 times. 15 times. Oh, by the way, I would like to point out, I did not realize that you're fired was a Trump thing until yesterday. I saw the video. Now, I know you're fired is the Trump thing, but Mike going, you're fired. That's a Trump thing.
Yeah.
I did not realize that. I thought that was a Mike-ism.
Oh.
I liked it.
Kind of, I guess, but he's adapted it.
All right. First game up, Carolina at Atlanta. Both teams are 0-0 because that's how this works. It's a 39.5 point over-under. Atlanta, 3.5 point favorites. Injuries in this one for the Falcons. Jeff Okuda, cornerback, is out. Cordarrelle Patterson dealing with a thigh issue. Questionable for week one. Not sure what his role is going to be because he's officially listed as a joker on the Falcons depth chart. What is he? People who rostered Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney? Folks, all right. And on some unfortunate news, Walker. The Falcons have released tight end J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Damn.
Rip. Pour one out for my boy J-Jaw.
Yeah.
You suck.
He was not good.
Here lies J-Jaw. He never scored. All right. For the Panthers, a little bit more consequential issues. They're not sure if Brian Burns is going to show up. He's not injured, but he practiced. He has a contract situation going on. He has a hold-in. DJ Chark is not going to be playing. He's out with a hamstring injury. Terrace Marshall was limited in practice this week, but is supposed to play. Adam Thielen is questionable with an ankle injury. Walker, your question is very pertinent to the fact that everybody is hurt.
Yeah, I want to know who Bryce Young's security blanket is, because whoever it is going to get a lot of targets.
I think it's going to be Miles Sanders.
Yeah, I know.
Very resigned to that.
I've cooled on Miles Sanders a little bit. I still think he's probably going to be fairly productive, but I mean, as long as he plays, I still think it's going to be Thielen.
I mean, yeah, that's the one that makes the most sense, but the best option for me, for my takes, is Miles Sanders.
My agenda craves Miles Sanders' success.
That's right. So yeah, it's going to be one of those two. But let me ask you this, where would you even start Adam Thielen this week? Like, where would you start him? Like a 16 team, three wide receiver league, I guess.
I mean, I'm in a 14 team, three wide receiver and a flex league. That's my home league. And yeah. I, if I had Adam Thielen on my roster, I would not be starting him.
Yeah, I'm checking my 16-team league. Hold on, let's see. 16-team league where, let's just say I made a little trade this week, Walker. I acquired, I traded away a third-round pick. Okay. And you'll never guess who I got back.
Would it possibly be Miles Sanders?
No, it would be my fourth, count them, one, two, three, four, Arizona Cardinals quarterback. I traded a third for Josh Dobbs.
Very good. Great job.
Yeah. And I'm realizing that since this is a best ball, I cannot pull it up on the website. I have to pull it up on my phone. This is great radio. Thanks, Sleeper, for not letting me see my best ball team on the computer. my wide receivers in that league are Stephon Diggs, Michael Thomas, George Pickens. Okay, I would start him over my bench guys. Robert Woods, Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
Kendrick Bourne.
Yep.
And I love to have four spots on my bench to get the quarterback 23 every week. Oh boy. All right. I think even though Bryce Young's security blanket is going to be Adam Thielen, I think that outside of deep PPR leagues, it's not going to be worth the effort. Like he might score a touchdown. Adam Thielen might, but at the same time, it could easily be like Miles Sanders. Like who is scoring touchdowns for this team? Tommy Tremble?
Hayden Hurst, maybe.
Oh yeah, Hayden Hurst.
LaVisca Chenault's probably going to score like 5 touchdowns this year.
Yeah, but they're all going to it's going to be like 5 70-yard touchdown passes, and he ends the year with like 400 yards.
Yep.
He stinks, folks. This Panthers offense, it just doesn't have a lot to it. We don't know what's going on with Bryce Young yet. And the wide receivers are not great. Like arguably Hayden Hurst, even when everybody is healthy, is the second best target there. Miles Sanders caught a lot of balls in the past, but wasn't super efficient with them. I don't know how good this Panthers team is going to be this year. So
the offense certainly is not going to be very good.
Oh yeah. It's going to be terrible. And if they end up having to trade Brian Burns, like good luck.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So the other side, the Atlanta Falcons. So we've got Drake London there. We've got Kyle Pitts there. We've got Bijan Robinson who catches passes there. We've got probably Olamide Zaccheaus still. I'm just guessing.
No.
No?
No, he's on the Eagles now.
What? But he's the quintessential Falcon.
They've replaced him with Mac Hollins.
Oh, yeah. Mac Hollins is the number four there. I just need to I don't think there's enough to go around for Desmond Ridder, a guy who shouldn't be throwing the ball a lot. So I'm very concerned, like what's an average Desmond Ridder game going to look like? Like 21, 22 pass attempts? I'm thinking like Justin Fields type numbers from like the Matt Nagy year where they wouldn't let him throw the football to save his life, where it was like, oh, my God, he got 25 pass attempts this week. And,
I think it'll be a little more than that.
I mean, should it be, though? That's the thing.
You have to keep the defense honest.
Yeah, I guess. But it's like, is Desmond Ridder the guy that's going to keep the defense honest?
Not really, but...
Yeah, that's kind of my...
I'm thinking 25 pass attempts or so.
Okay, so let's say... how many does Drake London get? Like 7 per game?
Yeah, probably about 7, yeah.
Okay, how many does Pitts get?
Maybe 8.
7 to 8, same number?
No, less. Probably like 6.
6? All right, how many does Bijan get?
4.
4? So we're already at 18 of his 25 pass attempts.
Okay.
Like, that's rough.
Tyler Algier gets 1.
That's 19.
Cordero Patterson gets 2.
That's 21.
Mac Hollins gets 3.
That's 24.
And Jonnu Smith gets 1.
That's 25. That sucks. That is terrible. Kyle Pitts getting 6 targets. Drake London getting 8. Drake London, incredibly talented. Other guys on his talent level are getting 9, 10 targets per game. 8, 9, 10. And, we're saying, ooh, maybe 7 or 8. And that's what has me worried about this. Like, there's not going to be enough around for Desmond Ridder. And a high-scoring game is going to be like 28 points, maybe like 27 points. And it's going to be at least two Bijan Robinson rushes, which means that's or rushing touchdowns if they score that many points, which means that Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Jonnu Smith, Mac Hollins are all going to be. Yeah, Algier's not getting a touchdown catch. They're all fighting for that second for those other two touchdowns. So it's like, and that's in a good game. So my big concern is like, is there enough to go around from Desmond Ridder for these fantasy options to matter? That's what I'm concerned about. That's what I'm looking at. Again.
I mean, in the passing game, it's very streamlined is the good thing. So London will get his, you know, at least seven targets most of the time. Pitts will probably get at least five. I'm more concerned about Pitts than I am about London. London, I think, will be a solid, like, low-end wide receiver, too, most of the season. You know, Pitts is expected to be a top six tight end, but he just might not end up getting the targets. I mean, if he only gets, like, 85 targets this year, he's going to have a tough time putting up a top six stat line.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be rough. I think that the guys that we drafted on the Falcons outside of Bijan have a very thin road to walk. And I think they are talented enough to walk that road, but it's very difficult for me to truly like feel very good about this offense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any of this offense at all. So,
yeah, I have Kyle Pitts, baby. I've come around. All right, so despite all that, Walker and I both choose the Atlanta Falcons to win this football game.
Yes, I think it will be bad.
It will be ugly. This is going to be one where this one will be the 8-minute highlight film that I watch instead of the full game tape because I have no interest in watching the full game tape of Panthers Falcons.
It's going to be like four Younghoe Koo field goals win it 19-17.
That actually sounds very accurate. And it's not gonna be Zane Gonzalez kicking it for the Panthers because you traded him to us, suckers.
Who's their kicker then?
I don't know. Panthers? I'll look up their kicker.
Okay.
I can't believe Robbie Gould still doesn't have a job. Actually,
Chase McLaughlin. I don't know.
Eddie Pinheiro.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. So. All right, so let's go over to the next game. This is going to be the Bengals and the Browns. This is
Are you sure about that?
Nope, we're going to the Texans and the Ravens. I accidentally scrolled down. You saw nothing. You heard nothing. This is a 44-point over-under. Baltimore 10-point favorites. So that's how many implied points for the Texans?
17.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Boy, 27-17. So injury news in this one, if my computer would cooperate. So for the Ravens, Marlon Murphy.
I don't know.
Marlon Humphrey ruled out for week one. Odell Beckham is in. Mark Andrews is questionable. We finally learned that it's a quad injury. It was undisclosed for a long time. Limited in practice. He should be suiting up on Sunday. That's what people are leaning towards. And then Ronnie Stanley was a full participant on Thursday and Friday. So he'll be good to go for this weekend. For the Houston Texans, we have no notable injuries on this one except for John Mechie, who has a hamstring injury. And Dario Ogunbowale is going to play. That's where he ended up. That's all the injuries for the Texans. So in this one, so Walker asked how much will Baltimore pass? I kept changing it to piss. And then Walker put in the notes, SMH. So that's why I started laughing. So Walker, how much will Baltimore piss in this one?
Probably the normal amount, I would say.
10 times, 15 times?
They're not going to be reaching the I'm sure they'll be keeping hydrated enough that they won't reach the level on the piss chart where it says you are a bad guy.
You are a bad teammate.
Yes.
Oh, that was a classic one. What do you remember what program that was?
I think it was Texas.
Yeah, I think so. I knew it was one of those like we're going to drive you into the ground, but if you die, you're a bad teammate. So I think they are going to pass more, but you know, they're going to pass more, but also they got a lot more passing options now. So sure. It's like, what? How is that going to shake out for the guys? I think it'll do well for Lamar Jackson, but for the individual guys, Zay Flowers, Odell Beckham, Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews will get his. But those three guys, I wonder, like, you know, you play that same game we played before with the Falcons, and you're looking at, what, probably 28, 29 passes from Lamar Jackson?
I was figuring 30. So if you say 30, I mean, that's, you're going to get 8 to Mark Andrews, probably 5 to Odell, maybe 5 to Flowers.
Okay. So we're at 28, or sorry, we're at 18.
And then you figure 6 to Bateman.
Okay. So you're at 24, and I figure they're going to get, they keep talking about how they're going to pass to the running backs more. So Isaiah Likely and the running backs are going to eat up those other 6 targets.
Yeah. And Devin Duvernay here and there. Oh, and Nelson Agholor. I forgot he's there too.
Oh my God. So there's a lot of, like, okay. So personally, I don't think Devin Duvernay should see the field. I think he's best suited in a special teams role. He's very, 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 very good at that. I think he's probably their wide receiver 5 now.
Yeah, he's a really good return man.
Yeah. But he's not a great wide receiver. So it's, again, a thing where it's like there's a lot of mouths to feed for not a very prolific passing game. And you know, everybody's like, well, Todd Monken's here. They're going to fix everything. It's like, you think Lamar Jackson's all of a sudden going to throw the ball 40 times a game?
It's not 40, just not, no.
No, but everybody's talking like Odell's going to eat. Flowers is going to eat. Bateman's going to eat. Andrews is going to eat. It's like, conceivably, one of those wide receivers is going to eat. We just have to figure out which one it's going to be. I think it's going to be Zay Flowers, personally.
I think it's going to be Rashad Bateman.
I think that in the first half of the year, you might be right. In the second half, I might be right. But at least we both agree it's not going to be old man Odell.
No, it's not going to be Mr. coming off the ACL injury. I think it's going to be Bateman, simply because I think he was a better prospect than Zay Flowers. And so I'm going to stick with that until I'm proven wrong. And if I am, I'll accept it.
Yeah, it's not going to be Mr. already talking about retiring after this season. I don't know how you could draft a guy who's already like, yeah, I think I'm just going to hang it up after this year. So I think they will pass more, but I don't know how much it'll help for the fantasy options because they got so many more options this year. You know, last year they were running out like the corpse of DeSean Jackson.
Yeah. James Prochet,
having a argument about whether Devin Duvernay or DeMarcus Robinson is better.
So, we did that last year, didn't we?
We did. We did that multiple times.
Yeah, because I kept saying it's DeMarcus Robinson, and everybody kept getting mad at me, even though I was right.
No, I was on the DeMarcus Robinson side. Also, was I?
I mean, I liked DeMarcus Robinson because he kept getting like 10 fantasy points. I think Devin is probably a better football player, but Robinson was for some reason the beneficiary.
Yeah. So let's not talk about those two guys. let's talk about Walker. Let's talk about some other bad wide receivers. My question for the Houston Texans is how does the target situation shake out? Because it's not just we know Mechie's not going to be playing. So it's not just Nico Collins. It's not just Tank Dell. I was blanking on Tank Dell's name, but it's also Dalton Schultz. It's also they're talking about Damian Pierce is going to catch more passes. It's Devin Singletary. I was going to say Damian Pierce is not going to catch more passes. Like, I'm sorry, it's not in his game. I know he had that one slow motion highlight catch in practice. I don't care. But people need to be told it's not going to be Damian Pierce catching passes.
Famously lower college target share than Kenneth Walker.
One of the times where you would have been very justified in posting a, why are you booing me? I'm right.
Yep.
Because everybody got very mad at you for that. You just posted a statistic.
Yep. I posted a fact and I was told that I was missing context. And also I was told meaner things that we won't get into.
Jesus Christ. So I'm just very curious how this target situation shakes out. It's a lot like, you know, rookie quarterback, unsure passing game, low ceiling offense. It's a lot like the Panthers, you know, shockingly. But I just remembered like yesterday that they had the number 2 and 3 pick in the draft.
Yep.
I forgot that they traded up. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's right. So I'm very interested to see how the Texans, like new look Texans with D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud and Dalton Schultz and a bunch of junk wide receivers, how that shakes out, and more like the target distribution, because we're hoping Dalton Schultz gets a ton of targets, but we're not sure. Like, there's so much in Houston that we're not sure about, because new quarterback, new offense, mostly new weapons. So I want to see how that kind of comes apart. So same sort of idea as with Carolina, where it's like, who's the ball going to? That's my big thing that I'm looking for this weekend for Houston.
Who do you think is going to be the leading target getter in this offense?
I think it depends. Like, week to week, it'll be different. I think it'll be neck and neck between Schultz.
Who do you think has the most at the end of the season?
That's what I'm saying. So at the end of the season, I think it'll be a very close race between Schultz and Collins. But I think towards the end of the year, Stroud will go away from the security blanket of Schultz and go more towards Collins. So like early in the year, it'll be a lot of Schultz. End of the year, it'll be a lot of Collins. And they'll end up kind of in the same spot target-wise, like 85-90 targets.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. And so for like Collins, that's not very valuable as a wide receiver, but for Schultz getting 90 targets, that's like a top six number. So So very interested to see how that shakes out. We both have Baltimore winning this game.
Betting content. I would bet Baltimore to cover and the under.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be like
30-7.
I was gonna say 27-10.
Yeah, that works too.
Yeah. Is there anybody on Houston other than, so I know Damian Pierce, he's not good. Is there anybody on Houston you want to start?
I mean,
Dalton Schultz.
I'll start Pierce this week. He's probably going to get the most touches. So, I think you can play him. Especially where you drafted him, you're probably going to have to. I would not play Dalton Schultz.
Oh, you wouldn't play Schultz. Okay.
No.
I would personally, just because I think he's very blobby. He's a blob guy we've seen before. And with every tight end being some form of banged up, Darren Waller going on the injury report today, you might be stuck with a Dalton Schultz.
I think you can find Everett, Dulcich, or Juwan Johnson on the waiver wire.
I would prefer those three guys. You just might end up, you might end up stuck with Schultz.
Sure.
All right. So we both have the Ravens. Ravens starting J.K. Dobbins, starting Lamar Jackson, starting Mark Andrews. Anybody else? I want to see how these wide receivers shake out before I start them.
I have Bateman at wide receiver 35, so it's only a league start. That would be the only other consideration, though.
Okay, sounds good. So let's move on to other AFC North teams. The Bengals at the Browns, 47.5-point over-under. Cincy, 2.5-point favorites. Cincinnati Bengals news. Joe Burrow got paid like a very good player, because he is one. Signed a 5-year, $275 million extension. It really feels like with like the Nick Bosa, Joe Burrow signings, it feels like these stars are going more towards these short-term deals.
Yeah, they seem to be liking 4 or 5 years more than like 7.
Yeah, like you had the Patrick Mahomes contract where you're like, oh, he's going to be a Chief for life. I think it was a decade. It was 10 years.
10 years, $503 million.
Yeah. So, and now they're going more towards the short contracts, which is the Kirk Cousins method of doing this, where you just get as many bites of the apple as you can. And you just keep taking advantage of the salary cap going up. And in terms of injuries, there's not anything to report. Like if you go to RotoWorld, like all of their recent news reports are about Joe Burrow contract negotiations. And then T. Higgins, not close on a contract. Also, I'm pretty sure this T. Higgins picture is from like high school, maybe on RotoWorld. He looks very young in it. I got to see, is T. Higgins really looked as young? No. Okay. No, it is most definitely not the most recent picture of T. Higgins. Yeah. Cause I was like, I thought T. Higgins had facial hair and like braids, and he does, and not in this picture of him. I am fairly certain this is him in high school. So check out T. Higgins on RotoWorld. Anyways, for the Browns on the other side of the football, Denzel Ward cleared concussion protocol. He will play. Marquise Brown returned to practice. Jerome Ford returned to practice. That's pretty much it. Unless you want hot Kellen Mond news.
No.
PJ Walker news?
No.
Okay, so let's talk about this game then. Walker wants to know. You know, we're going to start with mine because we started with Walker twice. Is the bad man still bad? Deshaun Watson last year, he played in 6 games after returning from his suspension. He averaged 58% completion percentage, 183 passing yards, 1.2 touchdowns, 0.8 interceptions per game, rushed for almost 30 yards per game, which helped buoy those who decided to start him. He only really had 2 good games. He was quarterback 6, quarterback 8 the last 2 games of the year. But that quarterback 6 finish was because he had 3 touchdowns on 18 pass attempts. It wasn't like he was incredibly good. He just threw for touchdowns. And then quarterback 8, it was because he rushed for 44 yards. He also had 2 picks. So not very good results last year from Deshaun Watson. He had a year and a half off. I am very curious to see how he does this year, especially because everybody's talking about how Elijah Moore is supposed to help him, which Elijah Moore isn't good. So I'm not quite sure what the point of that is, but I want to know, is the bad man still bad? Because if Deshaun Watson sucks, then this whole offense is about to go down hard.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be as bad as he was last year. I mean, those are Drew Lock numbers. But I think that the completion percentage will probably go up into the low to mid 60s. Passing yards per game should improve. Touchdowns per game should improve. 0.8 picks per game sounds about right, honestly. But yeah, and then the rushing will stay about the same. So, I mean, I think Watson is more of like a low end QB1 to fringe QB1 type player. I don't think he's going to get back to his Houston heights, but I also don't think he's as bad a player as he showed the first 4 starts last year. So is the bad man still bad? No, but I wouldn't call him good.
Yeah, I would say yes, I agree. I think he's more, people were putting him up like just below like the Trevor Lawrence tier. But I was thinking he was more down in the like Geno Smith, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers group, which is a fine definition. It's like the bottom and the tops of these 2 tiers.
Yeah, I mean, he's like what he is now is what Ryan Tannehill was in his prime.
Ryan Tannehill is coming back to his prime, baby.
I don't know about all that.
I love when I say something that Walker clearly disagrees with, because Walker goes,
I'm debating how hard to disagree with you about it.
Yes. All right. So you want to know about the passing game in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how involved the non-Chase and I suppose non-Higgins options are going to be in the passing game. I don't know how they're going to divvy things up because they changed up the offense. They don't change up the personnel much, but they changed up the offense a little bit from 2021 to 2022. They started throwing the ball more, going downfield more often. Joe Mixon started to get less touches. And I wonder if they're going to keep doing that because it seemed like it worked pretty well last year. I feel like Tyler Boyd is going to have a little bit better season this year than he had last year because the Bengals don't have any good tight ends anymore.
They have Irv Smith, Walker.
As I said, they have no good tight ends.
I was assured, based purely off of that one game where he had 2 touchdown passes, that he is good.
I was assured that because he was a second round pick from Alabama that he would be good. But it turns out I was right and he stinks.
Yeah, he sucks. He's bad, folks. So I also agree that I think Tyler Boyd's going to have a bigger role this year because Joe Mixon can't continue to carry as many touches as he's getting and they're going to pass more. And it's not going to be to Irv Smith. I think it's going to be a lot more targets focused on the big 3. Obviously, Chase will be getting the most. I think T. Higgins is not going to be far behind. I also think that people who took him as their number 1 wide receiver are going to be a little bit disappointed. I think that he's probably more suited to being like wide receiver, like 14, 15, like your number 2 guy. Yep. But I really like Tyler Boyd this year as a flex option, basically every single week, because I think he's going to get a ton of targets this year. His biggest sin against fantasy football is not being as good as T. Higgins or Jamar Chase. I almost said Chase Edmonds, which you're like, I think he's, I love Chase Edmonds, but I think he's a little bit better than Chase Edmonds.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that.
So, Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting to see how this shakes out. That having been said, I'm not going to start Tyler Boyd this week. I want to wait and see what happens. He's best suited as like a bye week fill-in guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're going through, I would start Burrow for Cincinnati. You start Burrow, start Mixon, start Chase, start Higgins. And I would say that's it, probably.
Yeah, and for the Browns, I would start Chubb. I would start Cooper. I would, if I had to, start Watson, but I would prefer, like we talked about, Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm.
In the starter sit show that we did on Wednesday. I would prefer, I don't know. I
prefer Anthony Richardson.
I probably would. I was looking at that name and I was like, am I actually going to say that? Would you prefer Baker Mayfield or Deshaun Watson?
Watson.
Kirk Cousins or Deshaun Watson?
Cousins.
Ryan Tannehill.
Watson.
Yeah, me too. Derek Carr.
Watson.
Okay, so that gives you kind of the idea of where he is. So
I would start Njoku as well.
Yes, and that was, I was gonna say David Njoku, but I would not start Elijah Moore. I would not start DPJ. I would not start anybody else on the Browns except for those four guys. So I have Cincinnati winning. Walker, you have Cleveland winning.
Yes.
Explain.
I think Cleveland has Cincinnati's number at home.
Ah, it's the rock, paper, scissors of division battles.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're going to split. And also, I've kind of cornered myself into being out on the Bengals this year. So,
ooh, bad place to be.
Yeah, I've made the decision that I think the Bengals are not going to be as good as everybody else thinks they're going to be.
And why is that?
I think that they're basically the same team they've been for the last 2 years, and I think it's going to get stale.
That's fair. They're not going to make another move forward, and teams are going to figure them out.
I think it's just going to be Burrow puts up a lot of stats. Chase is really, really good. Higgins is pretty good. But the run game gets worse again. The offensive line still isn't very good. And I think people are going to start to figure out their defense more.
That's entirely fair. So, all right, let's talk about the next game. It's an AFC South tilt. Everybody loves the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
Jags Colts, 45.5-point over under. Jags 4.5-point road favorites. Injuries in this one for the Jags, not really much to report. Like Devon Hamilton, defensive lineman, went on IR. That's pretty much it. Snoop Connor's on the practice squad now. Remember Jacob Harris? He got cut. He got cut. Yeah. Remember everybody was drafting him onto their dynasty squads because they were having a mass hallucination?
Yep, I do remember that.
Yeah. So, all right. For the Colts, Deion Jackson is expected to be the starting running back, but Zach Moss is trending towards being back. He broke his arm, so it's not like it's going to be a conditioning issue. It's, you know, he could still do everything. Shaq Leonard cleared the concussion protocol and he's expected to play. And that's it for the Colts. So Walker wants to know, I think this is the big, there's two big questions in this game, and I think we got them pretty down pat. So Walker, what's your question for this game?
Is Calvin Ridley back?
What's the juice on that? Attribution to Calvin Ridley.
I'm not continuing with that bet.
Would you continue with that bet?
I would, yes.
okay.
Now, use my promo code at PointsBet.
use promo code Calvin Ridley.
Oh God.
Is Calvin Ridley back?
I think so. You don't.
I don't. Well, let me ask you a question. What does Calvin Ridley being back look like?
I mean, I think if he finishes like top 24 this week, I think that probably qualifies.
Oh, then yeah, I think Calvin Ridley's back.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because people were talking about like taking him like fringe wide receiver one.
Yeah, I mean, I had him, I think, wide receiver 13 in my projections, but
yeah, crazy person.
I didn't draft any of them.
No, I didn't either, obviously. And you know what's funny? I didn't draft any Christian Kirk either.
Weird. Yeah, because you said you were drafting Tyler Lockett instead.
Yep. But if top 24 constitutes Calvin Ridley being back, I think he's back. Yeah, so I'm thinking of John Wick. 18? That's where I get a little iffy.
Yeah.
I don't think top 18's in the cards.
I have him ranked 17th this week, but that is with Amon-Ra St. Brown removed because he already played.
Yeah. And with Rashee Rice removed, because obviously he had Rashee Rice top 10.
Let's not talk about that.
Oh, boy. I would say top 24, yes. I would say top 18, that's where I get iffy. Top 15, absolutely not.
Jeff has Calvin Ridley, wide receiver 20.
That sounds about right. Him and DJ Moore holding hands, walking down the road, wide receiver 18 and 19.
I actually have Moore ranked above Ridley this week.
Yeah, there you go. So I think he's back. I do think that there are people who are going to lose their mind on Twitter this weekend, a la how they lost their mind with Jahmyr Gibbs, because he's not going to be this top 15 weekly guy like they expect out of him.
Well, I will admit it would be funny if he had like 1 for 8 this week.
That would be very funny.
I mean, I would have to just admit, like, oh yeah, that's pretty good bit, actually.
Great bit by Calvin Ridley.
Zay Jones has like 7 for 80 and a touchdown, and Calvin Ridley barely gets involved.
Yeah. Calvin Ridley runs like 30 routes. You're like, wait, what is going on here? No, Calvin Ridley being bad as a bit, that would be very good. I would tip my cap to him. For the Jags, so we're gonna start Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yep.
And we're gonna start Kirk and Ridley,
mm-hmm.
and Evan Ingram,
mm-hmm.
Travis Etienne, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Tank Bigsby,
no,
get him out of my face. Absolutely not. Don't do that. Zay Jones, do not get cute.
Nope.
Don't do that. He was very good last year, but now he's the number 4 target, arguably number 5 if you lump the running backs together.
Yeah, probably number 4.
Yeah. So I would say don't get cute, start Zay Jones, but I think it's fairly straightforward for the Jags, unless you're one of these freaks that loves Tank Bigsby for some reason.
Zay Jones is going to be this year's KJ Osborne, where he has like 3 spike weeks, but otherwise gets 3 catches for 40 yards and you can't play him.
And then Kev freaks out every time he does literally anything.
Probably. Yeah, Kev's been known to do things like that.
That is the KJ Osborne role. So let's talk about the other side of the ball. The Colts. There's really one thing that I care about on the Colts. I don't care about what Deion Jackson does or Zach Moss does or any of those running backs. I don't particularly care what Josh Downs does or even my boy Alec Pierce. I don't particularly care what he does. Michael Pittman's going to do his thing. You're starting him. He's going to be him, Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore are all going to hang out between wide receiver 15 and 20 all year.
I don't know about that.
Really?
I have Michael Pittman outside my top 24.
Really? I think Michael Pittman's just good. They have like 3 wide receivers on the roster. And their tight ends stink.
They aren't going to throw the ball very much. And Richardson's going to have like sub 60% completion percentage.
Yeah, but all of those completed catches are going to be to Michael Pittman because Alec Pierce, cover your ears. He's the only wide receiver on this roster that doesn't suck.
I don't think he's going to get like 9 targets a game, though. I think he'll be a less efficient and less explosive version of Drake London.
Mm.
Like, I see a lot of 5 catches for 53 yards for Pittman. And
I see a lot of like 7 for 85 on like 11 targets. I think he's going to get a ton of targets because he's the only person worth targeting on this offense.
I don't think so.
All right. New question.
What was our pizza bet? I forgot what our pizza bet was.
I don't remember either.
All right. Well, I guess it doesn't exist anymore.
Pizza bet gone.
Michael Pittman does not finish as a top 20 receiver in points per game.
Done. Let's hope we remember this one.
I'll write it down.
Mail it to yourself in an envelope. The hobo's copyright.
I'm pausing the podcast recording and I'm going down to the post office in the pitch black.
Perfect. So forget Anthony Richardson. The new question is, how many targets does Michael Pittman get, man? Because that seems to be the more pressing question with this offense. Because Anthony Richardson is going to do his thing. He's going to rush for like 9 times for like 65 yards, maybe a touchdown. He's going to throw for like 140 yards, maybe. They're all going to go to Michael Pittman, and that's going to be it. Like now it seems like the real question is, what does Michael Pittman do? So we sussed out a better question than Anthony Richardson. I am worried that the running backs are going to sink them because, like you said, with passing, you have to keep them honest. Well, if you're running out Deion Jackson and Zach Moss, you don't have to worry about the running game. You do have to worry about the quarterback, but you can just spy. So,
right.
So I think that's it. I'm starting Michael Pittman easily. It matters who's on your roster more if you're going to start Pittman.
Pittman is a good flex, in my opinion.
Yeah, check out Walker's ranks at footballobservatory.com. There's a button at the top that says weekly ranks. Let me ask you this, Walker. People going down your ranks, at what running back would you rather start Michael Pittman? Are we looking at...
I'd rather start Michael Pittman or who?
Or in your flex, like down your running back ranks. So like Antonio Gibson or Michael Pittman?
Probably Pittman.
Probably Pittman. Okay, so that's kind of like a good dividing line, I think, right? Because
I would start. I mean, running backs are tough once you get past the top like 18, 19. I mean, the wide receiver depth is a lot better. I would probably start Pittman over everybody below Damian Pierce at 19.
Okay, so there you go. So that's your dividing line in flex because, yeah, you probably, like, if you're in a 3-wide receiver league, you're probably starting Pittman. If you're in a 2-wide receiver league, you're probably not starting him except for in the flex. So it's kind of not really a decision except for comparing against these running backs. But we both think the Jags are going to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and if you drafted in a way that you have to start Deion Jackson this week, let me tell you about Caleb Williams, because you're just going to have to start prepping for 2024, because this is bad news. Although we might not get Caleb Williams next year, apparently. So, all right, let's talk about next game. Bucks at the Vikings, 45.5-point over under. Minnesota are 6-point favorites in this one. Injury news for this, if my computer would cooperate. I'm very sorry, folks. I tried to do prep notes before the episode, but RotoWorld, I guess, is blocked at my job, and I couldn't do it beforehand, so we're flying by the seat of our pants here. Injury news for the Buccaneers on this one. Mike Evans, there was all this news about I've never seen so much news about a contract extension for like a 9th-year wide receiver. It didn't make a whole lot of sense for me, but there was a ton of push notifications about Mike Evans not getting contract done. Keyshawn Vaughn was away from the team for personal reasons and was not excused. So and maybe Keyshawn Vaughn got upset about all this Chase Edmonds talk, or I don't know what's going on, because he was he just didn't go to practice because he was upset about his demotion. So very interesting. But other than that, no real injuries. Kyle Rudolph retired. Did you even remember he was on the Buccaneers?
No, I knew he was last year, but I didn't know he was still there.
Yep, he retired. He signed a 1-year contract with the Vikings and retired. One day contract. And then shout out to a real one, Carl Nassib, no longer an openly gay player in the NFL. He has retired. So good for him. He said, I read his thing. He's got some other business venture he's working on. So shout out to a real one, Carl Nassib.
Yeah, okay, King.
Minnesota Vikings. Very funny. Shout out to Noah Moore Parties getting absolutely rinsed by making a multi-post thread about how Miles Gaskin is going to have a huge role for the Vikings this year. 4 hours ago, Vikings released running back Miles Gaskin.
We have a mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Rip Miles Gaskin, but great content. You know, I feel bad for Miles Gaskin, but this Noah Hill's ass showing is tremendous content.
All right. Other actual injuries. Kenny Wong Wu went on IR. TJ Hawkinson got a contract extension. Did you know that Kyle Rudolph retired? Because it's also in the Vikings news.
I did. That's crazy, isn't
it? Yeah, it's crazy. And then actual injury news, Marcus Davenport is questionable for week one with an ankle injury. So in this one, it's not really a question. It's Sean Tucker, Chase Edmonds. Two men enter, one man leaves. I think that's the thing to watch in this one, because here's what we know about the Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield, not great. The guys he's passing to, they are great.
Pretty good.
That'll shake out the way that it shakes out. It's not worth thinking about, to be honest with you, because we don't know. It'll go, like, that's been Baker Mayfield's whole career. It's like, it'll go how it goes.
Yeah.
So I think it's more coming down to which one of these running backs will take over for Rashad White first, Chase Edmonds or Sean Tucker?
It's going to be Tucker.
It's going to be Edmonds. You see what I did there?
I do actually think it's going to be Tucker, though.
No, I mean, Chase Edmonds isn't going to, like, take over. He's going to, his value, his path to, you know, returning Walker's faith in him is going to be just getting a ton of targets in, like, a third down role. But that's not conducive to him, quote unquote, taking over.
To be clear, I'd like to say I don't have Chase Edmonds even in my top, like, 45 running backs.
You heard it here. Chase Edmonds, running back 46 for Walker.
Pretty much. So, like, I think he's going to get enough targets that it's going to look like he had a pretty good season at the end of the year. But he's not going to be very useful for fantasy.
Wow. Walker, walking it back. Playing both sides so you always come out on top.
So true.
So true. That's right. so that's really the only thing worth worrying about on the Buccaneers.
Is Cam Brate going to go off?
Cade Otton season?
It's Payne Durham season, folks.
Co-keefed.
Ooh.
Co-keefed going all the way off. Three catches for 28 yards. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. If you drafted them, you're starting them. Because if you drafted them, it means you were the person that believed in them. So go off.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
I have Godwin and Evans both as, like, high-end flex plays. So in most instances, you're probably starting them.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we've seen Mike Evans be good with bad quarterback play before, and Chris Godwin's very good. So I think that they'll still return investment for you. There is nothing else we're talking about for the Buccaneers.
Rashad White is a flex play just based on volume.
He's also not very good at football.
He's not good. As I said in the start sit article, he's one of my sits. He averaged under 4 yards a carry and under 6 yards a target last year. That's really bad, man. That's just not good.
Yeah, he's not very efficient. Everybody's just like, he's going to be the only running back on the roster. And no.
Untrue.
Untrue. Sean Tucker is a better player, and Chase Edmonds is a better pass catcher. So good luck. Mm-hmm. So all right, off to the Vikings. I think this is actually a very good question. So they got rid of old man Adam Thielen. They drafted Jordan Addison. They extended TJ Hawkinson. So you want to know what that target battle looks like.
Yeah, I that's kind of the big question for Minnesota, is if Hawkinson gets pretty much the same role as last year, or if Jordan Addison kind of just takes what Thielen left and is better than Thielen with it. That's, I would imagine, what you believe. Yes. I'm a little bit more hesitant to project a rookie to get that big of a role immediately, especially a small one who isn't that fast. Now, I think Addison is a good player with a lot of intricacies to his game, and I think that's going to help him out quite a bit. But you're not going to be able to use him like you use, like, an Amon-Ra St. Brown, because he doesn't weigh enough. He's going to get beat up. Yeah. I think maybe 100 targets is a little bit more reasonable, and then Hawkinson gets like 120. But I definitely don't think it's going to be a landslide one way or the other.
No, I think they're both going to get enough targets to be very, very good fantasy options. Hawkinson, I was a little down on just because I think he got too many targets last year. And I think 125 is a little, I think it's a little heavy, but not by a lot. I'm thinking like 110 maybe.
Yep, that would be probably more realistic. Speaking of Jordan Addison, I found our other pizza bet.
Oh, yeah?
It's Jordan Addison versus Calvin Ridley, straight up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Let's go.
Yeah,
you. That's right, because I had Calvin Ridley at 31 and Addison at 30.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And I had Addison outside my top 36 and Calvin Ridley almost in my top 12.
Yeah, boy. Let's go. That having been said, I still probably want to see it from Jordan Addison before I start him this week. Yeah. If you're in like a deeper, like 14 team, three wide receiver league, you might not have a choice just based on where you drafted him. But TJ Hockenson is my start. Let me ask you a question, Walker. Justin Jefferson or
anybody? Anyone. Nope. I'll take J. Jeff.
He is the best wide receiver in football. We'll do to Justin Jefferson what we did to Patrick Mahomes. Let's spend 10 minutes talking about how good he is.
No, Justin Jefferson, very good. Start him. That's it.
Start Kirk Cousins. Yes.
Yep.
I think so.
I agree.
Yeah. So, I have Tampa Bay winning this one, actually. Don't know why I did that.
We should probably mention also, you should start Alexander Mattison, I think.
Oh, yes. I thought that goes without saying. I think Alexander Mattison, by pure volume alone, is going to be a top 20 back every single week.
Right.
Yeah. He's going to be Frank Gore. He's going to be David Montgomery. He's going to be that back that just, you're like, oh, he just wind him up, he goes. He gets somewhere between 11 and 19 fantasy points for me every week.
Pretty much, yeah. Just a good RB2.
Yeah. So, that's it.
I have Minnesota winning.
I don't know why I have Tampa Bay winning. Was I doing a bit? Making dumb decisions as a bit. I switched it to Minnesota. I have Minnesota winning. Watch Baker Mayfield pull off some crazy victory, and they'll be like, I want credit for having Tampa Bay first. Quietly going in and switching it. All right, let's talk about the next game. Saints-Titans. 41.5 point over under. New Orleans, 3-point favorites. This is another one that I do not particularly care to watch. I don't think this one's going to be all that exciting. I think it's going to be a lot of grinding it out. Tennessee, Treylon Burks off the injury report, which is good because there was a whole lot of thinking he might miss time because of the injury that pushed Chigakonkwo up. I fell for that, but now he's back. Kyle Phillips went on IR. Rip everybody who thought Kyle Phillips was going to be a thing. Racy McMath was released. Rip friend of the show, Linda. She told me to not slander Racy McMath earlier this offseason. I am sorry.
Rip to a bit we did last year about Racy McMath that I can't quite remember.
I think it was something about a Math Blaster type game.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because we made a bad joke about you jerking off.
Woo! All right. And that's it. Caleb Farley starting the season on the pup. For the Saints, Kendre Miller not practicing, looking like he's not going to play. Trending towards that. So it's going to be a whole lot of Jamal Williams week one. I think Jamal Williams top 24 running back pretty easily with no Alvin Kamara, no Kendre Miller. Traquan Smith is going to miss week one. Rest in peace to Daryl. The Barrel Williams has been released by the New Orleans Saints.
Rip in peace to a legend.
Rip in peace to Daryl the Barrel. All right. My question is about the Tennessee Titans, which is, should we remain Tannehill'd? He was one of the best quarterbacks last season under pressure. In true target, in true completion percentage, which strips out drops and batted down passes, all that stuff. He was still a good quarterback. The problem was, is he was passing the ball to Racy McMath and Dez Fitzpatrick. Dre was a cornerback. Safety?
Dre Kirkpatrick was a corner.
Yes. Okay. I knew I got there. All right. So I want to know if we should remain Tannehill. I said, guess who's going to be very annoying about Ryan Tannehill when they went out and got DeAndre Hopkins, and now he's back at full strength. I think he's going to work his way into that Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr group. Right now he's well outside of it. I'm not saying he's going to finish top 8, top 9, anything like that. I think he's going to work his way into that rotational / streaming discussion with those quarterback 11 through 15 guys.
I mean, I think Cousins is a step above those guys, but I definitely agree with Tannehill being right around Derek Carr. I have them ranked pretty similarly this week. I think Tannehill is a perfect QB2 in Superflex leagues.
I think so, too. I was able to get him as a QB3 in a lot of places in some Superflex drafts I did this year, and I'm feeling very good about that.
You should.
Yeah, so... So I think that we should be Tana pilled, not to me, my level of putting him into my top 10 like I did a couple years ago. But I think that Ryan Tannehill is going to have a nice little bounce back this year. As for the rest of the Titans, you are starting Derrick Henry. You are starting DeAndre Hopkins. You can start Chigakonkwo. I probably would not do that. I would not start Treylon Burks. And keep an eye on Tajay Spears. Tajay,
however you want to say it. Yeah, I have a... Yeah, Chig was my tight end sit of the week, which it was not fun to write. I didn't like that one, but Treylon Burks, I think you can flex, but I wouldn't expect a big game from him. And that's about it. Yeah, play Derrick Henry for sure, and then Tannehill only in two quarterback leagues.
Yeah, and that's pretty. And DeAndre Hopkins everywhere.
Yep.
All right. So the Saints, they got a new quarterback. His name is Derek Carr. Is his wide receiver one Chris Olave?
That's my question.
I'm asking you.
I mean, I certainly think so, but it seems like there's a lot of people who still need to be convinced. I'm excited to see what Olave can do this year. I've kind of tempered my expectations. I think I might have even gone a little bit too far into the being careful with the Chris Olave hype because he was my keeper in my home league. And I didn't want to seem like I was just pumping up his projection because I want it to happen. But I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to come right out of the gate strong. Tennessee secondary outside of Kevin Byard is bad. And I think he's going to connect on a deep ball at some point in the game. I think he's a must start player probably all season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I this idea that he's not the wide receiver one, I don't quite understand. He was incredible with that last year. And I say that as somebody who was kind of pounding the drum that he shouldn't be a wide receiver one in the NFL. And I was wrong.
Yeah.
So I think that he is the wide receiver one. I think he's the wide receiver one there. And I don't think it's particularly close. I think that... Michael Thomas's time as a stud wide receiver are pretty much over. I think he's reaching the old man Larry Fitzgerald part of his career where he's still good, but he's not the stud guy.
Yeah, the classic Larry Fitzgerald, a 90 target season where he's never really fantasy relevant, but he scores 9 points a week.
Yeah, he's just continuously every week you look at him on your waiver wire where you're should I, shouldn't I,
He's the best guy on the waiver wire, but he's probably going to get 4 for 46.
Yeah, it's just one of those, should I? No, you should not. All right, and then we already talked about Jamal Williams. Where does Jamal Williams come in for you in terms 22. Of 22? Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like he should be a top 24 back, and 22, hold on, checking with my sources. 22 is a top 24 back, so we are good there.
Good, great.
Woo! Juwan Johnson. Would you prefer Juwan Johnson or Chigakonkwo?
Juwan.
Juwan Johnson or Dalton Schultz?
Juwan.
Juwan Johnson or Gerald Everett?
Everett.
Okay. That's all in that group there, and those are a lot of those guys you could just snag off the waiver wire right now.
I'm starting Juwan Johnson in our Dynasty League Week 1.
Woo! Let's go. I don't think that's a bad call.
My three tight ends are him, Dalton Schultz, and Tyler Conklin, and they're going to be shuffled in and out of my lineup all year.
Juwan Johnson or Tyler Conklin?
Juwan Johnson.
Okay, perfect. Just had to make sure you were being intellectually honest with your start sits. So I think that's it for Titan Saints. I don't think there's much else to talk about. Taysom Hill or Juwan Johnson?
Shut up.
Taysom Hill is going to score a touchdown this week. Book it.
I hope not.
It's going to happen, Walker. Do you know why it's going to happen? Because it's he wants to make you make that noise. All right, let's go on to the next one. Niners at Steelers. 41.5 point over under. Niners 2.5 point favorites. Injury news for the Niners. George Kittle is questionable with a groin injury. Nick Bosa is looking like he's going to play. Signed a big old contract. Congrats to him. You know, maybe he can pay into, you know, this whole like Dominion voting lawsuit thing for Trump.
He's paying Rudy Giuliani's bail.
Yeah, he's paying Rudy Giuliani's bail. I'll make the same joke here I made on Twitter. Crazy, he got 5 years after Enrique Tarrio got 22 and Stuart Rhodes got 17. Let's go. Woo! Proud boys. That's it for the Niners. Jake Moody is going to be playing. Thank God. You know, you need your third round pick kicker in there. For the Steelers, Walker, have you heard of this guy? Dez Fitzpatrick? You heard about Dez this guy?
Fitzpatrick. Yeah. I've heard about
him. He was cut by the Steelers. Rest in peace. There's no injury news to report for the Steelers, but the last two Roto World updates are ESPN Dan Graziano says, don't be surprised if Jaylen Warren is the Steelers lead running back by the end of the season. And then the next one, Steelers.com's Dale Lawley says the narrative that Jaylen Warren will be the team's number one running back is, quote, simply not true. So Roto World playing both sides. So they always come out on top.
God damn it.
My question is Brock Purdy or Brock Squirty in his pants? Parentheses, he poops them. I'm still not convinced that Brock Purdy is very good. I'm also not convinced that Brock Purdy is ready for a full complement of snaps with his elbow injury because they did not let him like have a full complement of pass attempts in practice and everything. So I'm a little bit worried that his elbow might still be a problem, but they don't know it yet because they babied it too much and that he might be figured out. You know, teams actually have tape on him now. This is the same. Basically, I am too scarred from Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard and Jimmy Garoppolo all having good first 5 to 6 starts in this offense before settling down into something with a much lower ceiling than they initially showed in their, except for CJ Beathard. He always sucked. But Nick Mullins had big games. Jimmy Garoppolo, we thought was the future in his 5-game stretch at the end of the season where he came in, where he's traded in. I think that was 2017, I want to say, maybe 2018. And now I'm just worried that that's going to happen to Brock Purdy. So that's the number one thing that I'm worried about. Do you know why? Because we know what everybody else on this team is.
Yep. That's true. Yeah, like, Christian McCaffrey, you're playing him. Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, make your own call there, but they're good players.
George Kittle, if he's healthy, you're playing him.
That's correct.
Juwan Jennings, you're not playing him.
That's correct.
Willie Snead, I bet you didn't know he was on the 49ers.
I did know that, actually. I did.
I always forget. I'm like, the Ravens guy?
The Saints guy?
Every time he shows up on the field, I'm like, oh yeah, the Niners have him. Same with
Ball State legend.
What's that?
Ball State legend, Willie Snead.
Oh my God. Same with Ray McLeod. I'm always like, oh yeah, the Niners have Ray McLeod. So that is that's really the only question for the Niners. You're starting every Niner you can except for Brock Purdy, unless you don't want to start like Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel. Like Walker said, make your own judgment there. We will not make that judgment for you. Walker,
no, this is not a fantasy advice podcast. No. I'm just kidding. Deebo Samuel I have at 24, Brandon Ayuk I have at 29. So there's your information.
Take it, you little pigs.
Yeah, accept these crumbs.
Alrighty. So Walker, you wanted to know about George Pickens.
Yeah, can he take the leap?
No, because he still cannot get the open.
he can't do it. You really can't do it.
No,
he's the perfect like receiver that dumb guys love because
that was me up until like a year and a half ago.
Because he's extremely good at like mossing defenders.
Yeah. But
that's the only thing he can do. So the only way you can get the ball in his hands is chuck it down the field and let him make a play or throw like a screen pass to him. And I think they'll do enough of that he will have some really good games. But I still think he's more of a wide receiver three flex guy for fantasy.
Yeah, and I think he's a boom bust flex at that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because if your only skill is mossing guys, they're called 50-50 balls for a reason. You know, some weeks you get three for 110 and two touchdowns, and some weeks you get one for 27.
He's better Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
I think he's trying to think. I don't know. Yeah, better Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a good one.
He's Cincinnati Bengals Marvin Jones.
I forgot he was on the Bengals.
His first 4 years of his career.
That's right. All righty. So what I want to know, I'm going to steal this real quick. Is this Steelers offense? Everybody got way over their skis about them. Like, oh my God, they're so good. And it's like, they were playing like preseason games. I think everybody was primed for this. The Steelers seem to be good because everybody wants the Steelers to be good all the time. And, you know, it's still Kenny Pickett. And he got a little bit better. He came on, you know, he cleaned up his game at the end of last year. But I'm wondering, like, are they going to get exposed against this still very good 49ers defense? You know, they lost some guys, but they're still very, very, very good.
I think this is going to be a very low scoring game, to be honest with you.
I tend to agree. I think the difference between the win for the Niners and the loss for the Steelers is going to be the fact the 49ers have Christian McCaffrey and the Steelers have Najee Harris.
That's fair. I can see that happening.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a very low scoring game because both sides have very good defenses, incredible defenses with a lot star studded, all that nonsense. And offenses that have a lot of question marks. The 49ers just have a lot more talent on offense. Even though Deontay Johnson, no slouch. Pat Freiermuth, no slouch. Najee Harris, kind of a slouch.
I think Najee Harris is fine.
I think he's fine. I think that the rumors of his death are greatly exaggerated because everybody's looking at his numbers from last year, ignoring that he had a Liz Frank injury that he played through.
Right. I mean, I think Najee Harris is great? No, but like, he's better than replacement level, I would say.
Yeah, he's better than Jaylen Warren.
I think so.
I think so, too. So, Walker, betraying me, has the Pittsburgh Steelers winning this football game.
Yeah, I think it's just a game that sets up for the Steelers a little bit better. I think the under is definitely the play. And I think it's going to be like a special teams and defense fest that the Steelers win like 16-13.
I would say that the 49ers they start the season terribly like every single year. They always start off the year like 3-4.
They lost to the Bears by 9 last year in week 1.
Yeah, and they always have like these insane games. Like they beat the Lions a couple of years ago, but that was a weird game. They lost to the Cardinals the year before that, and that was them defending their Super Bowl appearance. They got rinsed by the Cardinals. It's like they always start off super slow, and then everybody's like, oh my God, are the Niners falling apart? And then they rip off like 9 straight wins and finish like 12-5.
That's been pretty much the whole deal.
Yeah. So I'm picking the Niners though. Let's go, baby.
You should.
I'm gonna be wearing my last Niners jersey of a player on the team, George Kittle, Iowa jersey that my wife's cousin gave to me because I have a Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance jersey.
Woo! All right. So we're finally on to the last 10 o'clock Pacific game of the week.
Yeah, we need to hurry up. All right. Cardinals Commanders 0-0, 35. Of course, they're 0-0, 38.5 point over under Washington 7-point favorites. Injuries in this one. Zach Ertz is questionable to play in this game. He has a knee injury that he's recovering from. He tore his ACL last season. Marquise Brown is questionable with a hamstring injury. For the Commanders, Terry McLaurin was removed from the team's injury report with a toe injury. And Chase Young is dealing with a neck injury. And it's looking like him being available in the near future is completely up in the air. So that's very interesting. Guess who's back? Jamison Crowder. Remember him? He's back. He's on the practice squad. And that is it for the Commanders. Let's hurry this up. Walker, Who are you asking? What do you want to know about the Arizona Cardinals?
I mean, it, really the only two super fantasy relevant players with Murray out right now, can James Conner and Marquise Brown put up solid numbers on a really bad team?
Conner, yes. Marquise Brown, no. With Josh Dobbs probably starting or Clayton Toon.
Yeah, I mean, Brown's going to get enough volume that I think he's a flex play, but he's not going to be efficient this season. It's going to be like five catches on nine targets for 57 yards.
Ugh. God. You can just kind of look at him every week and go, eh, well, okay. Well, could have been worse.
Yeah, James Conner, I think, probably a solid RB2. The touchdown numbers will be lower, but he'll still catch a few passes, and he'll get a lot of run on the ground. So, I mean, 18 for 70 and three catches for 20 yards is still 12 points.
Yeah, he's the number two target on this team.
Rondale Moore, probably.
Eh, I don't think so. I think Rondale Moore is, we know what he is at this point, and he's...
I think he'll get more targets than Conner still.
Okay, that's fair. I don't want to talk about the Cardinals anymore because they are going to go like 1-16.
They're bad.
They stink, folks. All right. The Washington Commanders. We got Eric Bieniemy over there from Kansas City. Eric Bieniemy put a big role together for Jerick McKinnon. And I'm curious if Antonio Brown is going to be the new Jerick McKinnon. That's question one. Question two. Jahan Dotson, will he finish the year higher than Terry McLaurin? Bonus question. Go.
Antonio Gibson is the new Jerick McKinnon, but better because he's better at football. And no, Jahan Dotson will not finish the season ahead of Terry McLaurin. That is crazy talk.
That is crazy talk. All right. Sam Howell, middling quarterback two.
Yep.
All right. I think Sam Howell's a name, somebody to watch because not because he's particularly good, but because his Bieniemy system seemed to work for him. Just like he got it clicking.
If Howell starts all season, he could conceivably run for like 500 yards as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm starting Terry McLaurin. I'm starting Antonio Gibson. Everybody knows how I feel about Brian Robinson at this point. I'm not even going to. I will never start Brian Robinson ever.
I will never stop benching Brian Robinson.
That's right. Brian Robinson, my ass. I will never stop benching Brian Robinson.
I would not Sam Howell only in super flex. Antonio Gibson, high end flex play or low end RB2. Brian Robinson, middling flex play. You should start McLaurin. Dotson is wide receiver 3/ flex play. Yeah, that's it.
All right. We both have the Commanders winning. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to Packers Bears. And this one actually has relevant fantasy news because there will be, no Christian Watson in this one. Christian Watson was ruled out today due to a hamstring injury. Romeo Doubs practiced with a hamstring issue as well. Limited. It's looking like he's probably going to play, but we'll see. And that's it really for the Packers. For the Bears, nothing to report injury-wise except for Tevin Jenkins went on IR, but that was a week ago. Trent Taylor is your new Chicago Bear, so nothing to report there. So, Walker, you want to – and this is – I'm actually very curious. With no Christian Watson.
Right. Who's stepping up at receiver for the Packers? Somebody has to.
Is it Jaden Reed?
I kind of think so. I mean, he would be my first choice if you were really looking to play a Packers receiver this week for some reason.
If you're in an NFC North only league.
I mean, Reed might be a pretty cheap DFS dart throw.
Yeah, I also think he'll be pretty, for a cheap DFS dart throw, I think he'll be pretty widely rostered bigger contests, GPPs. That's the term I was looking for. Just because everybody has been in on Jaden Reed.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, I think he's a good player. And I think with Watson out, he's pretty clearly the most talented receiver that they've got. So I would imagine he has at least more air yards than Romeo Doubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't understand this idea that Romeo Doubs is good. I think
he's fine.
He's
Juwan Jennings.
I was going to say he's in that same tier as like Mecole Hardman.
He's better than that, I would say.
I don't know. He's
more than a gadget player, but he's not more than a wide receiver three.
All right, Walker, let's play. Let's see if we can name if Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs are both inactive. Who is the wide receiver two on the Packers?
Dontavion Wicks.
Correct. Or Malik Heath?
Samori Toure.
Yes. Amazing name. But they'll probably pull up Grant Dubose from the practice squad.
Charlotte, right?
I think so. Let's see. Grant Dubose from Charlotte. Yep.
Grant Dubose.
Grant. More like Grant the Worker, because he's not Dubose, because he's on the practice squad. You're starting Aaron Jones. You're starting A.J. Dillon in a flex, probably, yes?
Yeah, A.J. Dillon's a flex guy, yeah.
Don't do the thing that everybody's doing and get over your skis about Luke Musgrave or Jordan Love. Nope. Don't start them yet. Honestly, if Christian Watson doesn't, or Christian Watson isn't playing, the only guys I'm starting are the running backs.
Yeah, I would. The only guy I'm starting for sure on the Packers in this game is Jones. Even Dillon, I might find a better option.
I mean,
I would start Raheem Mostert pretty comfortably over A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, well, I think Mostert, I think he should be started over A.J. Dillon most weeks. So, yeah. So on the other side of the ball, the Bears, they've got Justin Fields. They've got D.J. Moore now. They've got Khalil Herbert. I want to know how I don't know what I was thinking with this. How much yak will D.J. Moore average, and why is it 75-yard yaks per reception?
Because of the screen passes in the preseason.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know what, like, usually when I make these joke questions, I'm going to segue it into a real statement, but I don't know what it is. So I'm going to put it this way. Will the Bears create three must-start players? A quarterback, obviously they already have that. A wide receiver, they probably have that. And a running back in Khalil Herbert. Or will there not be enough passes to go around? Is Cole Kmet going to take stuff? Is Darnell Mooney going to take stuff? Is Chase Claypool going to take stuff? And it's going to limit the upside of DJ Moore. Same thing with the running backs. You've got Roschon Johnson there. You've got Deonta Foreman there. I do think Khalil Herbert's the best of the three, but you've got all this three-headed monster situation on a team that's going to want to run the ball a lot. So my real question is like, can they produce three guys that you want to start every week? They already have one. It's the other two. Like DJ Moore, I think you start by default, but then, will Khalil Herbert join those ranks?
I think they could, but I'm not sure it'll quite get to that point. I think Herbert is going to be a guy who's like a low-end RB2, high-end flex, kind of like Antonio Gibson. Moore, I'm not the highest on, but he's going to be top 24 in my rankings just about every week. So he's a must-start. Fields, again, maybe a little lower on than consensus, but still definitely top 8 every week, unless it's a horrible matchup. And then Cole Kmet's not going to get there. There's not enough passing volume, and he's not good enough. So maybe if Khalil Herbert just seizes control of the backfield and looks like really good on an increased workload, but I still don't think he'll catch enough passes to be a guy who's super consistent as a starter. I think he's a good fantasy pick for sure, but I think he's probably ends up more of a low end RB2.
That's fair. All right.
Picking Chicago to win this one.
Yep, we both are. Let's move on to mercifully. That one was a 125 game. All right, mercifully, we continue with the 125 games. Raiders at Broncos, 44-point over under. Denver, 3.5-point favorites. Injuries in this one, the Raiders placed DeAndre Carter on IR. Chandler
Jones.
More like
DeAndre Cart IR.
Folks, more like DeAndre Carted off the field. Chandler Jones and Josh McDaniels hate each other, so Chandler Jones isn't going to play. Philip Dorsett is now a Bronco. He is no longer a Raider. Keelan Cole released. That's news for the Raiders going into week one. For the Broncos, Jerry Jeudy, questionable for week one. Limited. I'd say that's a true 50-50 shot. I'm not starting him either way. On a 50-50 shot on a 125 game, you're taking a lot of risk there, especially with a hammy. He could play four snaps and re-injure that thing.
I can't trust it this week.
Yeah, I can't trust it either. And then Marvin Mims, who is dealing with a hamstring injury, full workload. There's a lot of coach talk in here about Jaleel McLaughlin, which I'm not sicko enough to pick up Jaleel McLaughlin. I'm sorry.
Don't do it.
And then especially because Sean Payton says Javonte Williams will play a big role versus the Raiders in week one, which is honestly pretty cool because we were all like, worried about Javonte Williams, get his injury and all that stuff. I also don't think that Javonte Williams garners a massive workload because he literally never has.
Right.
He didn't do it in college. He didn't do it. He couldn't stave off Melvin Gordon. He couldn't.
Michael Carter in college.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying he didn't do it at college, and then in the pros, he couldn't stave off Melvin Gordon. And I was trying to remember the other guy.
Was there another guy?
Was there another guy? Maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking of Mike Boone when he got hurt. So I do think people are getting a little over their skis about that, but it is what it is. But my question for this one is not about Javonte Williams. It's is Marvin Mims really it? People are really excited about Marvin Mims. A lot of that had to do with the Jerry Jeudy injury. Looks like Judy's probably going to play, but I don't know how much you can like profile Marvin Mims to be this, you know, consistent down to down guy. He really feels more like a Darnell Mooney type, where if he's the only guy, like he'll fall into like 95 targets by default, but he's going to kind of on a better offense fall into being sort of a deep threat guy. Like his best case scenario, and it's a good best case scenario, is he becomes Tyler Lockett. But I think more what we're going to see is probably more like a Darnell Mooney type, more inconsistent production. So I really want to see if Marvin Mims is really it.
Yeah, I mean, I it's a good question. There are those who are really in on him and those who are kind of a little more concerned. I think he's fine. I mean, I think he's good enough to be a top three receiver on a team, but I like the Darnell Mooney comparison. I think that that's pretty much spot on. I have Mims just outside my top 50 this week. I wouldn't be willing to play him.
Yeah, I have him in a couple spots where I'm like kind of getting backed into maybe playing him, and I'm still like scouring the waiver wire to find something to talk myself out of it.
Well, let's hear it, buddy. What are your decisions?
I have so many leagues. I don't know which league this is in.
I was looking at it
today at work. Oh, here we go. Here's one of them. Marvin Mims or Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, that's a real 50-50 call.
See? Marvin Mims or Nico Collins.
I'd go Collins.
All right, I'm going to do it. I'm doing it right now, Walker.
Let's go. Big Daddy Rank special.
Big Daddy Ranks. The switch has been made. This is also the league that I have Brian Branch in, so I should just let you run this team.
No, I don't need any more.
Come on. You don't want to run an IDP team?
No.
I have Roquan Smith.
Oh, he's good.
He's very good. Alrighty. Walker, I think you have a very pertinent question here about the Raiders.
Who is the third option behind Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs?
Is it Austin Hooper?
No.
Is it Michael Mayer?
No.
Is it... Oh, I forgot Jacoby Myers was there.
It's either Jacoby Myers or Hunter Renfro, but I don't know which one.
That's a good... Yeah, I don't know. My guess is that it's going to be Jacoby Myers.
I mean, I think that they'll probably draw up more plays for Myers because they just signed him to like a $12 million a year contract.
Exactly. And
Hunter Renfro is a fifth round pick, I think. But Renfro has a better season on record than any season that Myers has ever had. So with a new quarterback coming in, I don't know. You know, it's, I would guess that Myers is probably the third option in this offense, but Renfro is going to push him for it. And if they end up kind of going back and forth, I think that makes neither of them useful.
Yeah. I don't think the third option in a Jimmy Garoppolo offense, if they're not a Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey level talent, is going to be worth it.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth worrying about. And especially to the point that it could just be Austin Hooper or Michael Mayer, because that's Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do stupid things because he's a beautiful himbo. So I have, despite all that, I have Vegas winning just because I think that the Denver team is still a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I'm going with Denver because I think it's hard to beat Denver at home in September because you're not used to the altitude.
But do you know who went into Denver and won last year?
Was it Las Vegas?
It was Geno Smith, baby.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that like a 13-12 game?
Yeah, and it was the one where Melvin Gordon fumbled on the goal line like twice.
Yeah, yep.
And that's where Geno Smith had the line where he's like, they wrote me off, but I didn't write back.
It's so funny looking back that he did that in a game where his team scored 13 points.
I know. And they only won because of goal line fumbles.
Absolutely absurd to go come out of that game with that much confidence. He is the irrational confidence king.
He rules. I love him. Imagine the Geno Smith journey. Like, you get punched in the face, nobody cares. You kind of fart around the backup rooms of the NFL. Like, he's on the Chargers, he broke the Eli Manning starting streak. You come out on the Seahawks, you beat out Drew Lock barely in preseason. Your team wins barely because the other team fumbled on the goal line. And you're like, you know what? I am the greatest.
Yeah, I'm that guy. And then you prove it the rest of the season.
Yeah, and then you are him. And then the team's like, you know what? We're going to build around Geno Smith. Let's get JSN. Let's get more weapons. It's amazing. It rules. So all right, let's move on to the next game. The Miami Dolphins travel to Los Angeles, 51-point over under. Chargers 3-point favorites. Injuries in this one. The Miami Dolphins, Teron Armstead has been ruled out. Shocking. Dude is always hurt. Jalen Waddle was full participant.
Teron arm hurt.
But it's his back, ankle, and knee, not his arm. Wait, hold on. Teron Arms dead.
There we go.
We got it. We got him. Jalen Waddle and Devon Achane, both full participant in practices on Thursday and Friday after being limited earlier in the week. So they're good to go. For the Los Angeles Chargers, J.C. Jackson not on the injury report. And that's it. Very healthy team going into week one, except for Jalen Guyton is on PUP, but who cares? I'm sure, actually, that's not fair. I'm sure Jalen Guyton cares.
Yeah, and I'm sure they probably care a little bit because Jalen Guyton is one of the league's elite wind sprinters. He's really good at taking the top off the defense without actually being a threat.
Well, do you know who else can do that?
Nobody on their roster with that speed.
Well, not that fast, but Josh Palmer can do that.
To a degree, yeah. I mean, yeah. And speaking of Josh Palmer, my question is...
Thank you. You caught the segue. Thank you.
Does Josh Palmer hold off Quentin Johnston in the pecking order?
For this game, I think so.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to take that long. And I'm not... I don't like Quentin Johnston much, but I don't think it takes that long for his ability after the catch to push him ahead of Palmer. Maybe a month or so. I don't think you can play him for now, but if you drafted him, you just got to be patient.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I cooled significantly on Quentin Johnston in the preseason because I was doing the thing that you said stupid guys do, and then I stopped doing it. Because Quentin Johnston, he's big, he's fast, he also gets knocked off the point of the catch very easily.
Right. I mean, I think he ends up being like, I don't think this is a LaVisca Chenault situation. I think he's better than that, but he's not a supernatural receiver. He's good with the ball in his hands. I mean, I don't know. I don't know a great comparison for him, to be honest with you.
I'm trying to think, that's what I'm trying to think of, too, like how I feel about him. I'm trying to think because it's not like he's not going to be like a N'Keal Harry type where he just kind of just flames out of the league.
No.
Let me think. But I think what we're saying is that maybe don't look towards Quentin Johnston as being one of these rookie wide receivers that balls out, because I think that he is going to need some development and refinement to his game before he can really pop off. Like, I'm going to go back to 2018 and look at the players to see if there's
maybe Devontae Parker.
Oh, Kenny Golladay.
He's more athletic than Golladay, though.
Galladay was pretty athletic.
Well, his RAS was all right, but that was mostly because he was big.
Yeah. Let's see.
Somebody in that vein, though, like a 50-50 ball receiver who can actually make some moves after the catch.
Yeah. So not a very, I know. No.
Him and George Pickens are pretty similar.
I was going to say Corey Davis, but no, that's not it. That's not it. That ain't it. Man, going back to 2018, top 10 wide receivers include Michael Thomas, Adam Thielen, Juju Smith-Schuster, Robert Woods. What a time. What a time to be alive. Alrighty. My question for this game is, what does the running back room look like behind Mostert?
I think it looks like a lot of A-chain.
I think it looks like a lot of A-chain. I think I forgot that Jeff Wilson was injured with this. So let's do... Go ahead.
No, I just said, oh.
Yeah. Let's do this. Are we starting Tua?
You can. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I think he's in that high-end quarterback two discussion.
Yep.
You're starting Hill. You're starting Waddle. You're starting Mostert. Don't start Devon Achane. Are you starting Alec Ingold?
I mean, you don't play in leagues with a fullback slot?
Oh, I do, but I have Kyle Juszczyk everywhere.
Oh,
so okay. I don't even think about it.
Right, yeah. I mean, Kyle Juszczyk is to Travis Kelce as Alec Ingold is to Mark Andrews.
Chargers, you are starting, if you know their name, you're starting them, except for Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, Justin Herbert, yes. Austin Eckler, yes. Keenan Allen, yes. Mike Williams, yes. Gerald Everett, yes. Josh Kelly, no.
Isaiah Spiller, no.
I wouldn't do it.
I would
Spiller,
not.
Spiller, I hardly know her.
Folks, who is the really tall guy on the Chargers that everybody? Oh, Donald Parham. Don't do it. Parham, I don't even know if he's still on the Chargers.
I think he is.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it for that. Chargers will win.
I agree.
Very straightforward game. Eagles, Patriots. So in this one, the New England Patriots, hold on. Been a long day. Let's try this again. Eagles, Patriots, 45-point over under. Philly, 3.5-point favorites. Injury news in this one for the Patriots. Stop me if you've heard this before. Devontae Parker is questionable with a knee injury.
That's great.
Ramondre Stevenson, he's got the bubble guts, I think. He did not practice with a mystery illness, but he should play on Sunday. Sounds like somebody got the number three with cheese and should not have done that. He's got the bubble guts, folks. That's it for the Patriots. I didn't see this. They put Riley Reiff on injured reserve earlier this week. So now that's it. For the Eagles.
What if he was Riley Reiffer and he just smoked a lot of weed?
Him and Alex Highsmith.
Yep.
I got a retweet when Alex Highsmith got drafted. I made a Photoshop of Alex Smith with red bloodshot eyes and a Rasta hat. I got to retweet that. Alex Highsmith.
That's so good.
All right, for the Eagles, they do not have an RB1 on their depth chart. Trey Sermon got cut because he stinks out loud. Albert O is a Eagle, also stinks out loud. They released Aaron Sipos, which I don't care about, but he's a punter with a cool name. All right, let's talk about this game. Walker, there's no running back one in this room, but what is your question?
Who breaks away from the pack in Philly's backfield?
Kenneth Gainwell?
No.
It's right there in his name. Oh, DeAndre Swift. That's also in his name.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Swift for the most part.
I think it is going to be Swift as well, just because he's more versatile and durable than Rashad Penny. And that's not saying a lot about Swift. That's saying a lot about Penny.
No, I would say Swift is probably the best pass catching back on their roster, slightly over Gainwell. He's the second best runner behind Penny. And that, I think, will keep him on the field a little bit more often than the other guys.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a situation where I, for the first probably 3 weeks of the season, I'm not starting any of them. It reminds me a lot of the Chiefs wide receiver situation where I'm like, there's a lot of guys here. There are a lot of very similar talent levels with different skill sets. I just need to see what it looks like before I put any trust in it.
Mm-hmm.
And hell, it's DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny. Their hamstrings might make the decision for us.
Yeah, it could end up being Boston Scott again.
When do they play the Giants? Then it'll be Boston Scott.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Boston Scott, 9 carries for 38 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. Oh. I just thought of a decent comp for okay. Johnston.
Johnston. Yeah.
Is it Sidney Rice?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Cuz my brain a little faster, but yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, cuz my brain went Seahawks the next game, Percy Harvin, Vikings. I was like, ooh, Sidney Rice.
yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, which tells you how much I care about the New England Patriots. Here's my question. Is this offense going to suck out loud? Just major butt?
I wouldn't say major butt, but maybe some butt. Yeah, it won't be good. It's going to be probably pretty bland scheme-wise. They're going to do a lot of underneath stuff. They're going to kick a lot of field goals. This is a defense first, run the ball first team. It's just not going to be that fun.
Yeah, it's going to be the Smart Hulk meme. I see that as a major victory, and it's like winning 12-15 every week. You know.
Yeah. Bill Belichick is trying to keep you under 20 points. That's
the whole.
If they can't do that, they ain't winning this year.
Yeah, Bill Belichick, making the 7th seed. Going, 10-7
with a +1 point differential.
That is Bill Belichick's ideal season, and it's all special teams.
Yeah, 45 point over under here, so the projected total is 24-21. I'm gonna be honest; I don't think the Patriots are getting to 20 points in this game.
I don't know how, especially if Ramondre Stevenson continues to poop himself.
yeah, I think it's gonna be I would definitely be hitting the under in this game.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the only reason that the only fear I have for not hitting the under is the Eagles have some sort of they just smash on offense. And it's like 32-14.
Yeah, I guess. I don't see the Eagles getting to 30, and I don't see the Patriots getting to 20. So I think the under is pretty safe here.
Yeah. And we both have the Eagles winning. So
yep.
Last 125 game. This is another one we can blast through. Rams Seahawks, 46.5 point over under. Seattle 5.5 point favorites. Rams have this guy, Coop. His name's Coop. Cooper Coop.
Cooper Coop.
Cooper Kupp, not playing this week. Setting Walker and I back. We're both laughing so we don't cry. In a lot of our fantasy teams, it's looking like Van Jefferson's going to be their wide receiver one. Please, if you can help it, don't do that. My man laughing because you know. How many of y'all like terrible teams? Just the Rams fans. On the other side, JSN, Jackson Smith and Ajigba, the best wide receiver in this class. He broke his wrist a few weeks ago. No limitations in week one, according to Pete Carroll, which means he'll play 30 snaps because Pete Carroll lies all the time.
Yeah, I have inside information on this because I am a 2-time wrist breaker. It takes more than 3 weeks for you to get your confidence back in the wrist. He'll probably be structurally fine, but he's not going to have confidence in that wrist yet.
Question: have you considered that he's open quote built different close quote? Different.
It's possible. I mean, I'm not. So I'm a normal person.
So, I'm built regularly.
Yeah, built super regular. Yeah, I look exactly like you would think. So if you know, comparing him to me, maybe not the best comparison, but I think he will. You know, I would probably not play him this week.
Yeah, I am in my dynasty league just because that same league where I was trying to start Marvin Mims. My wide receiver is not great. So I'm going to start JSN. I'm going to do it, Walker.
Okay.
I'm doing it.
You and Frank.
Me and Frank. Jeff, Frank, handshake, JSN. Breaking JSN's wrist. Ken Walker is listed as a starter, and then he got hurt, and then he's fine now. So
yep,
he's fine. That is the Ken Walker experience. Sorry to all the Zach Charbonnet fans. Walker, what is your question for this game?
How do the Rams cope without Kupp?
They don't.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
They're bad.
They are not a good team.
Cam Akers is going to get 30 carries for 92 yards.
Yeah, I have Cam Akers sadly in my top 24 this week.
He's the okay, Walker. We both hate Cam Akers.
Yep.
He is the second best option on this team behind Hate Crime Higbee.
He might be better than Tyler Higbee.
Oh God. Start Cam Akers, start Hate Crime Higbee, on pure volume alone for them both.
Yep.
And that's it. End of discussion for the Rams.
Yes, correct.
Until Cooper Kupp is back, that is the discussion for the Rams.
Yeah, you're not. Please don't start Rams wide receivers.
Yeah, don't get cute and start Matthew Stafford either. That dude's going to get betrayed by Puka Nacua.
It's true.
Yeah. All right, for the Seahawks, my question is, was 2022 a Mirage Geno or a miracle? Meaning, is Geno Smith the team's savior, or did they saddle themselves to same old sorry-ass Geno Smith?
Yes, is my answer.
To both?
Mm-hmm. I think this year is going to continue to be Magic Geno, and then next year he's going to turn back into a pumpkin.
All right. So that means I got to trade off my JSN shares after this year. I think that Geno Smith is as set up as pretty much any quarterback around the league, except for maybe Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got one really good running back and one competent running back. He's got three good receivers, an above average tight end, two good young offensive tackles. The interior of the offensive line is not great, but everything else in the offense is quite good personnel wise. The defense is pretty good. He should be in a great situation to be productive again this season.
Yeah, he's got a coach in Pete Carroll that says, "Hey, kid, do your thing."
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the Pete Carroll mantra. Like, do your thing, man. So he's not going to do that. He's not going to be square peg round hole situation like we're going to see with Dak and Schottenheimer this year in Dallas. I think he's as set up as from every spot in that offensive, like everything you can think about offense, he is completely set up, except like you said, interior offensive line, which okay. You know, like nobody's going to be 100% perfect, or their setup's not going to be 100% perfect. So I think that, you know, Geno Smith, very well set up to, if you drafted Geno Smith, I think you're probably going to start him more often than not because of where you drafted him and the other guys you drafted around him. So we both have Seattle winning. Start DK, start Lockett, start Kenneth Walker. What about Zach Charbonnet?
No.
I agree. Geno, you can start.
Yep.
There is one good player on the Rams defense.
Aaron Donald is that player.
Yes. And I'm sure it's fine that the interior offensive line is a problem for the Seahawks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Aaron Donald. It's going to be a game where the Rams give up like 27 points. And it would have been 40 if Aaron Donald wasn't on the field.
Yeah. It's going to be like 27 points, but Aaron Donald has like four sacks.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to Sunday Night Football. Giants, Cowboys, 46.5 point over under. Dallas, 3-point road favorites. Injuries in this one. Darren Waller added to the injury report with a hamstring injury. Wandale Robinson, my sicko stash, is doubtful for week one with a knee injury. And that is it for the Giants. For the Cowboys, Tyron Smith is questionable with an ankle injury. Tyler Smith is doubtful with a hamstring injury, left tackle and left guard, respectively. And that's pretty much it for the Cowboys. The rest in peace, Malik Davis. They waived Malik Davis. Wait, what? I didn't see this trade. Kelvin Joseph for Noah. Oh, God. Yeah, I didn't see that trade. Interesting.
Yeah, straight up. Bust for bust.
Yeah, shades of, what was it? John Baldwin for...
A.J. Jenkins.
Yes, A.J. Jenkins. I couldn't remember who the Niners bust was. Like, hey, here, you cut him.
Yeah.
All right, so my question for this game is Brian Schottenheimer going to destroy Dak? It's the same question I've had all offseason. I'm not worried about CeeDee Lamb. I'm not worried about Tony Pollard. I'm worried about Dak. Because Brian Schottenheimer is a doo-doo poop from a butt shit ass offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he's really bad. I think Dak is really good, so I don't think Shoddy will completely destroy him, but I think it makes Dak tough to play in good, you know, against good defenses.
Yeah, it's going to be an issue, especially because Dak threw so many interceptions last year, and the high octane Kellen Moore offense was able to sort of balance that out for him by giving him more passing yards, more passing touchdowns. But if you're throwing a pick after, you know, Tony Pollard runs five times for 25 yards on the drive and Dak Prescott completes two passes for 18 yards and then it's an interception, like that's going to lower his ceiling entirely. And I do worry about that, especially like, I can't find it anymore. There is this classic GIF when Brian Schottenheimer was the OC of the Jets, where it was 3rd and 9. I think they went four wide, and all four receivers ran like 7-yard curls.
Yeah. And I know what you're talking about.
That is the Brian Schottenheimer experience right there.
Yeah. Have you seen, you remember how much we hated Joe Lombardi? Well, get ready for more.
He's back in Cowboys form. So yeah, it's going to be a problem. And I think that a lot of people are overlooking that because they're like, oh, well, you know, Dak Prescott has been very good. He's been very good because Kellen Moore was there. And I think that's going to cause problems for the tight ends as well. People are just like penciling Luke Schoonmaker into Schoonmaker. I'm never going to learn his name. Spoonmaker. Got it. They're penciling him into this like Dalton Schultz role. It's like that was a different offense entirely. You know,
I think Jake Ferguson's better than he is. And second off, I don't think any of their tight ends are going to be like top 15.
Yeah. Well, everybody has rookie tight end fever. I don't know what happened to fantasy Twitter this offseason, but everybody lost their goddamn mind.
This is the year of the rookie tight end for some reason.
Somehow, I don't know how this is going to happen. But Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid, Luke Musgrave, and Schoonmaker are all going to end up in the top, like, 14.
No.
It doesn't make sense. I don't know what fantasy Twitter is doing.
Me neither.
Yeah. So
I also don't know what people are doing. Why is everybody picking the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl? What is going on?
Like, it's because they have Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs and... they think that, you know, that will get them all the way to the Super Bowl. And really, Trayvon Diggs is a pick merchant. He gets burnt all the time.
Yep. Yeah, that man is burnt toast. He just picks off, like, 6 passes a year.
Yeah. He has a lot of, like, it's a very, like, YKB litmus test with Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, if you think Trayvon Diggs is elite, you don't know ball. If you think Trayvon Diggs is good but has a big flaw in his game, then you know ball.
Yeah, he's a pick merchant. He sells out every single play to try to get an interception.
Right, and that's, yeah, I mean, that's useful. Obviously, getting picks is good, but he also gives up too many yards.
Yeah, exactly. So, that having been said, we both picked the Cowboys to win because, Walker, let's talk about the Giants.
Yeah, boring team. Saquon is fun. Daniel Jones is boring. He won't throw the ball downfield a lot. He won't make a lot of turnover-worthy plays. They will run the ball a ton, both with Barkley and Jones. My question is, well, it's kind of twofold. On the sheet, it just says, who is the Giants wide receiver one? But I guess my follow-up question is, does it actually matter?
I don't think it does. I think it's going to – it's imagine the Chiefs wide receiver situation with a quarterback that's half as good as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, if that – it's I don't foresee it being great. I think – in my opinion, I would say Darius Slayton is probably the most talented and has the most been the most proven of the options. So I would guess he ends up as the number one receiver. But like I have that projected and I still have Darius Slayton, you know, at 40 this week. I don't think you should play him. So
no,
I don't think you can play any Giants wide receivers right now.
I don't think so. I think for the Giants, you can play Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. I personally wouldn't.
That's fair.
I think you would, right?
Yeah, I would.
He's kind of on that fence. Like, catch me on the right day, Like, maybe Sunday morning I'm going to change my mind. Which, by the way, YouTube is going to host the start, what we're now calling the Starter Sit Show with Crisco, apparently. Check in there. I might change my mind.
Do it.
Jones. I'm not sure. Watch it. Do it. I'll be there. You start Saquon Barkley, obviously. You could start Daniel Jones. If Darren Waller plays, I think you can risk it with Darren Waller because you have if he doesn't play, you have an obvious pivot on Monday Night Football. I think Tyler Conklin will get a handful of targets and will, not goose you.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, he's Conklin's fine.
Yeah, but if Monday Night Football was like Niners,
Bengals,
where you have like one tight end that's universally rostered, one tight end that should not be started, then I would not do that. But with Bills, Jets, you have Tyler Conklin. If he's, rostered,
or you could get desperate with Dawson Knox too.
I mean. Yeah. There are pivot options there. So I think you start Darren Waller this weekend. If he doesn't, if he's not going to play, then you have that pivot option. And usually the Sunday Night Football,
you could even pivot to Jake Ferguson.
You could, potentially. But usually for like Sunday Night Football, like the stars, you tend to know earlier in the day if they're not going to play. So you might even have 125 pivots.
You might.
And there's some decent ones in there. There's Kmet. There's Austin Hooper we were talking about. There's Dulcich, who's potentially available.
Yeah.
Gerald Everett. There are options there. So I would roll the dice that Waller's going to play because he is the second best player on the Giants offense.
Yep.
And it's not particularly close.
I mean, it's skilled players. No, not close at all.
That's what I mean. I mean, a weapon, I'll say.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
All right, so we both got the Cowboys. Let's move on to Monday Night Football. Bills, Jets. I did not pull up the injuries for this one. Oh, my God. Injuries for the Bills. Everybody died. They're all dead.
No, I don't think anybody is. I don't think anybody that matters is injured for the Bills.
I don't think anybody that matters is injured for either team. I can't think of an injury off the top of my head that I know about. Dalvin Cook is Hall, good to go.
Cook's good to go. Hall is going to play. Yeah, it looks like we're good.
We're all good. Walker, Kenny Golladay, hosted by the Jets. Hoo boy.
That's interesting.
My question for this one is, how funny is it going to be when Dalton Kincaid gets 38% of snaps?
Really?
It's going to be hilarious.
Again, sorry, apologies to Lindell, because I like you a lot. But Dalton Kincaid, first off, I don't think he's that great. And second off, it's going to be really funny that everybody who got way over their skis on him is going to have to deal with two catches for 16 yards.
Yeah. And two catches for 16 yards, and Dawson Knox still runs more routes and plays more snaps than him.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't understand. The freak out
on Tuesday is going to be primo.
It's going to rule. I'm going to be so excited on Twitter on Monday night because we saw what happened. People try to squeeze blood from a stone on like Sam Laporta.
Right. And Sam Laporta had a really good game for a rookie tight end debutant, and he had 5 for 38.
He was the first rookie tight end to get 5 catches in his first game since TJ Hawkinson, like 5 years ago. Yeah. And he had
9 points.
And what is Dalton Kincaid going to do?
Not that. Probably worse than that. Almost sure, yeah. Worse than that.
Actually, this is what I want. 2 for 16 and a touchdown. Maximum chaos. Make it happen.
Because then he'll finish the week as like tight end 12. And then everybody's see, it worked.
And
he only got 38% of snaps, so he's only going to go up from here, baby.
Yeah, no, it's not like he's in a slot rotation and also an inline tight end rotation. It's not like he's just maybe a rotational player as rookie year like every other goddamn tight end that gets drafted.
Yeah,
Walker, I'm mad online.
It's so funny because like saying rookie tight end bad is reductionist analysis is correct. It is, but it's also correct reductionist analysis.
Yeah. It's also being like murder is bad. That's reductionist analysis, but it's also correct.
Right.
So, for the Bills, are we starting Josh Allen?
Yes.
Are we starting Stephon Diggs?
Yes.
I agree on both counts. James Cook.
flex option, but yeah. I would probably try to find somebody better. I'd rather start Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, I'm going, I have him in a flex in a league, and I'm like, that's okay.
I'd rather start Jamal Williams.
Oh, most definitely.
Khalil Herbert.
Sure.
Cam Akers, even.
Yeah, Cam Akers is a better shot at a touchdown because of the Damian Harris factor.
But, like, I would play James Cook over, like, Brian Robinson, his brother.
Samaje. I was going to say, damn it, you beat me to it. I was going to say, James or Dalvin?
So you're playing over Dalvin.
Yeah, because, Walker, what is your question for the Jets?
What is Dalvin Cole's role going to look like? Cook.
Who is Dalvin Cole?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Hold on. You called. Where was it? God damn it. I can't find it. You called somebody the wrong name, and now I can't remember who it was.
Yes. Flood the zone with shit. I'm going with the oh my God, who's that guy's name?
I don't know.
Steve Bannon. I'm going with the Steve Bannon.
Oh, one. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Flood the zone with shit. Call everybody by the wrong name. This Dalvin Cooks guy. I'm going to do the Midwest thing. Call him Dalvin Cooks.
Yeah. Oh, God. No. I hate that so much. I live here. Sucks.
I don't know what his role is going to look like. I think Breece Hall's good. I think he's good to go. I didn't see anything to the contrary.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he'll be in a full role to start the season, but no, I think it's going to, the snap share is going to be like Breece Hall, 45%, Dalvin Cook, 30%, Michael Carter, 25%. And then as the season goes on, Hall and Cook's roles will expand a little bit and Carter will fall by the wayside.
Yeah. And it sucks that Izzy Abanaconda just got completely wiped off the map.
He will not. He might not get a touch all season.
No, he might not. I think he's going to be practice squatted all year long. I without injuries to the guys ahead of him, I don't know where he gets touches.
No, there's nowhere. Dalvin Cook signed and killed his value.
Yeah, that's the problem. So we're starting Garrett Wilson. Breece Hall, yes?
I think he's a high-end flex.
Okay, so you're still a little worried about the knee injury.
Yeah, again, I mean, I have him right above James Cook, but again, I'd rather start Jamal Williams, Khalil Herbert, Antonio Gibson.
Okay. Dalton Kincaid, Darren Waller, pivot only. That's the only.
Yes. Yeah. Fair.
The only situation where I start him. Here, let's do this. Gary. No, not good. Tyler Conklin or Dawson Knox.
Tyler Conklin.
Yeah, I agree. Is that it? Did we do it? Bills win.
Are we starting Gabe Davis?
No.
I'm not either.
I'm not starting Gabe Davis for the same reason I don't want to play Dalton Kincaid. I don't know what that wide receiver rotation behind Stephon Diggs is going to look like. Mm-hmm. Cause you have a lot of guys that can go inside, can go outside, can go in the slot. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be like a 5-guy rotation.
And none of the other Jets receivers. And then I guess Damian Harris, I would not play.
Damian Harris is a good flex in a touchdown only league.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather play like Deion Jackson or Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah, at least I know those guys are going to get like 12, 15 touches. I don't know what Damian Harris is going to do, especially because it could be
touching the ball 10 times, 15 times.
10 times, 15 times, especially because it'd be old man Latavius Murray.
It's going to be really funny when at some point this season, probably James Cook gets hurt for a couple weeks. And Latavius Murray just pops off out of nowhere as 33 years old.
Latavius Murray is going to score like 50 points in a 4-week span. And nobody's going to know what to do with him.
And then, yeah, and then he'll fall off the map. And then he'll score a touchdown in like the divisional round of the playoffs.
Yeah, he rolls.
He rolls
so much. Man, so, all right, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Football Obscurity Podcast. Like I mentioned, I will be on the YouTubes. On Sunday for the Start or Sit show. We start that 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern. So that's right when the 1 o'clock games, 10 o'clock games injury report comes out. So we kind of have an idea of what we're going to do there. That's again going to be on YouTube. Just search Football Absurdity, hit the subscribe button. We'll be there. Walker and I will be back on Tuesday. maybe with Mike and Toe, who knows, to review these games. That is available on our Patreon, patreon.com/footballabsurdity. Also footballabsurdity.com, where you can find this, the TH Fantasy Podcast, Walker Starter Sits, My Sleepers,
Tony's Gambler, Degenerate's Gambit.
Yeah, Tony's Degenerate's Gambit, Absurdity Checks, I do every Thursday and Sunday. Just a whole Streamers. Bunch of stuff. Streamers, Waleed and Tony are going to do, I forget what the name of their betting show is tomorrow on YouTube as well. Just, it's regular season, folks, ton of content. So I have to go eat dinner because it's 9 o'clock and I've been going since 6 a.m. this morning. So for Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and let's go football.
It's football time.
That it is.